Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Aiken City Council meeting, June 9, 2014. We appreciate you being here. And as we go through our agenda, if there's any item on the agenda that you would like to speak to or about, you may do so. Just give us a show of hand, of your hand, at the proper time, and then come over here, just give us your name, and you certainly may say your piece. You may speak about whatever it is you want to speak about, as long as it's on the agenda. At this time, we'll have council prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
May we pray. Heavenly Father, our Maker and our Sustainer, we come to you tonight with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we are again grateful that you blessed us with the opportunity to see another day. As we discuss the business of the evening, we ask that you open our hearts that we might feel you, open our minds that we might know you, open our eyes so that we might see you in the faces of others. Dear God, enable us to discern between that which is good and that which is not. Help us to serve our community with sincerity and dedication. We thank you for the favor shown on our community and our dedicated staff. Help us remember that all things work together for good to those who serve you. We pray for guidance and direction through this transitional period. Continue to bless our staff, our community, our leaders, both locally and nationally. We promise to acknowledge your gifts and praise in everything we do. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As we get started, some of you may not know, so let me tell you that our city manager, Richard Pierce, resigned on the 6th of June. And sitting next to me here, and we're glad for that, is Stuart Biedenbaugh. He was the assistant city manager, and is now the acting city manager. I just want to let you know that. If you didn't already know that, we're happy to have Stuart up here with us.
Thank you, Mayor.
I understand, and I see we've got a big troop here today, tonight. Troop 421, Cedar Creek. Ed McNamee is the leader. And would you all stand up, please? Okay. Now, council is going to ask you if you give us your name. Tell us who you are and where you are in the scouting program. And you can start, or we just start right on this end and go across and then come back and then back there, okay? Speak up loud so we all can hear you. You don't have to move.
My name is Josh Birch. Tenderfoot.
Good. Very good.
I'm Austin Meyer, and I'm with you on the
first class.
And it's not for first class or not start.
I'm a lighter walking on the second class.
I'm on Dota. I'm working on Stag Club.
I'm Ed McNamee, Scott.
Well, thank you all very much. We always appreciate the Scouts being here, and of course Girl Scouts too, and they can come. Scouting program is a wonderful one. We all know that, and so just thank you for that. And I know you're working toward your eagle. That'd be a wonderful accomplishment. Now, how about parents that are supporting in one way or another? Oh boy! You don't have to stand up. Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. We do appreciate you being here and what you're doing. The first item on the agenda is the minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the work session and regular meeting of May 12, 2014, and a special call meeting, special call meetings May 29th and June 3rd, 2014. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I shall move.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I would on page 41 where we discussed the purchase or lease of the property at the airport. I would like to have Sarah put in the next meeting's minutes the report from the special call meeting of the airport commission, and I have a copy for all the members and one for Miss Sarah. She'd just add that in there because there's a lot of discussion about this particular item, and I think it'd be good to have it documented.
Yeah.
And that's what that was written by Don Barnes, and that's just an addition to it.
Yeah, that was a very good article. Yes. Got a copy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. In the presentations, we're fortunate. We have a couple. The first one is June 28th fireworks extravaganza. Bob, do you have something that you'd like to say about that?
Thank you, Mayor. Sam McGill, the Vice President and General Manager of the South Carolina Office of Atlantic Broadband, is here tonight to talk about a wonderful summer event that's coming up here at the end of the month. So, Sam, please come on.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. On behalf of Atlantic Broadband, I'm honored to introduce the winner of Destination America's Red, White, and You contest, Deborah Oberg, and she's joined with her husband, Chris, tonight. Destination America is part of the Discovery Channel family of networks, and it's a TV network that celebrates people, places of the United States. And for the contest, people were encouraged to submit a short or very brief essay describing why their town deserves a 4th of July fireworks celebration. And the main reason we wanted to make the presentation and come before council is, and I'll read the essay if you will allow me, it's just a brief paragraph, is the kind of things that she, Deborah, had to say about Aiken, and especially our mayor. Fred Cavanaugh, Aiken, South Carolina mayor, has maintained the beauty and spirit of Aiken that the former and equally popular mayor, H. Odell Reitz, has established. Our city wins awards. People love to visit. Lots of economic choices for all age brackets. Friendly and easy to navigate. We deserve a celebration. Bring it on. Come see our beautiful landscape, horse statues, beautiful gardens, and more. So thanks to Deborah and Atlantic Broadband and Destination America, we're bringing Independence Day fireworks show back to Aiken. It's going to be on June the 28th. The Western Carolina State Foundation Board of Directors has very graciously donated the fairgrounds for use, and they're also going to provide a midway, including some rides and food. They're going to open gates probably at 3 or 4, and there'll be more announcements for that to come. And certainly want to also thank Mike Fanning and All Star Rents, who provide some tents and things like that out there as well. But anyway, Destination American Discovery also provided some a gift bag here for Deborah that we wanted to present. This is all the recognition that she gets, and the city of Aiken gets a very nice 15 to 20 minute long fireworks presentation that will be June the 28th at the fairgrounds.
Sam, you might mention this is a multi-$1,000 presentation too, please. What was the estimated price of this?
It varies based on who is shooting. I'm not sure who the shooter is. Pyrotechnic is coming to do that. But yes, it's several thousand dollars worth of fireworks. A 15 to 20 minute long presentation is.
Thank you very much for doing that.
Well, thank Deborah for
Sam. Thank you so much. Yeah, and I just want to. I heard the words, but I just want to say, we wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't if it was just for me. I did. So you used my name, and of course I worked with Mayor Weeks when he was here too the last couple of years. But I'm just going to say that this whole thing is for all of our citizens and for our council.
Mr. Mayor, if I can add a couple comments. Deborah, in talking with Sam McGill, what was Sam, a couple weeks ago we talked about Deborah. There's so much going on where you live at Carlson Park, and we're working on that area. But we're talking about that in the same vein as we talked about with Atlantic Broadband. And then when he told me what you had done, here's someone that's reading the paper, saw something, and it was like, aha, maybe this will be good for Aiken. So you took the initiative to submit that to help to place more attention on Aiken. And oftentimes we see these things, but we don't take advantage of it. But Deborah took advantage of it, and certainly you've made all of us a star in many eyes, especially with this Destination America group. And Sam, thank you for your connection with this as well, with Atlantic Broadband supporting that. And other folks I'm sure you're going to bring along in terms of support of this event. So thank you so much as well.
Thank you.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item two is potential concept for redeveloping the alley.
Mayor, thank you. Tonight, we're pleased to have Cam Scott from the architectural firm of Cheatham, Fletcher, and Scott, along with our engineering and utilities director, George Grinton, and they would like to discuss a potential concept plan regarding the redevelopment of the alley right behind the city hall here. And this potential work would be part of the next phase of our downtown streetscape work. Our staff has been in communication with members of the ADDA, other downtown businesses and interested parties to show our plans, potential plans, I should say, and to get their input. And one thing, any plan or any ultimate development we do would be done, phased in, done in probably quarters after hours to minimize any disruptions to business. But we are glad to have George and Cam here tonight to share this potential plan with us.
Thank you, sir. This is a project that kind of began as somewhat of a boring project because the objective was to remove the overhead lines and put them underground. But one quickly realizes that there's many aspects to even what sounds like a simple and somewhat boring project, and there's actually opportunity that I'd like to hopefully capture the attention of the council and perhaps persuade you to help us implement it. We have capital sales tax 2 funds for undergrounding power lines. We did finally succeed in undergrounding the Newberry lines, removing those power poles. A lot of that work was done prior to me coming to the engineering director's position. We finished the project, and so we started looking at where's the next place to go. And the priority that was given was the alley, because that's one of the the main attractions for downtown. When you start looking at the power lines, you start looking at where is the transformer going to go. Where does it feed from? Where does it have to feed? What are all the other connections that are overhead? You have telephone lines, you have cable lines, and you start realizing that when you start laying this out, you're having a lot of significant cutting of the road, the sidewalks, in order to trench the necessary trenches and things that you to put all these services into the ground. That's going to lead to potential root damage with the trees that exist there, and it's going to require a lot of patching of the roads and the sidewalks, and potentially you could leave the alley looking rather unsightly. So we started looking at what we needed to do to not let that happen, and we realized that there really is an opportunity. If we make an incremental investment, we can actually improve the alley landscaping. When you looked at the road, you could cut the road, but there are sections of the sidewalk that are in relatively poor condition now. They have been heaved by the tree roots. They have there's just cracks, and cutting them up further wasn't going to make them look better. So we have the potential to upgrade the roads and sidewalk appearance, eliminate the sidewalk curb trip hazard. As you know, it's been repaved the alley many years, and so now you have just a couple of inches of curb. Curb is usually designed so that you run water to storm drains, and normally they're 6 to 8 inches, and of course our curbs are much shorter now, and it has been a little bit of a tripping hazard. The trees did not weather the winter storm terribly well, and some of them have they could use some improvement. The soil that they are in is limited because of the way they are planted, and there are opportunities to make improvements to the trees. Street lighting is another area that, as we started talking to some of the businesses in the area, they saw us just looking where we were going to run lines, and some of them came out and said, "Are you going to improve the street lighting? Are you going to improve the street lighting?" We have some uplighting, but those uplights are not as bright and as lighting as perhaps would be nice for a festival area that the Aiken, the alley is starting to become. And then we also have the opportunity to improve stormwater stewardship. Everywhere downtown we have impervious roads, streets, roof lines, etc. All this water is collected and is channeled to the east and the west, to Newberry and to Lawrence, which then all of this water goes down to the Hitchcock Woods outfall. There are opportunities and things that you can do to have volume removal of rainwater if you put in the proper stormwater design methods, even in a downtown street. Of course, you think of some of the bigger cities, Atlanta, New York, but nothing but concrete. And we can use some of the techniques and some of the methods and some of the things that they use to actually provide soil for the trees, volume for containment, and then infiltration of the water in the soil. That way, we can actually reduce the volume going to Hitchcock Woods, which is an objective. And of course, you'd only do a project like this because you're already doing another project. And so that's why I'm talking about incremental investment. This also will provide water quality improvements for TSS, total solids, the heavy metals and nutrients, these things improve the quality of the water that go down as well. And of course, you also have the opportunity to enhance the use of the alley, develop a sense of place for people to gather downtown, improve the street aesthetics so that future festivals and events are enhanced, and improve the electrical utilities that supply these festivals. When you have various needs for power, for speakers, for bands, et cetera, these can all be incorporated into the design. So what we did was we contacted Cam Scott, who's an architect who actually has done a lot of work with the city, and asked him if he could help develop a concept for what the alley could become, help us evaluate what the cost structures would be for the various work that would be proposed, and he came up with some pretty good ideas. So I'm going to let him take over the story at this part in the presentation.
Okay, thank you, George. Appreciate it, Council. Right, just to elaborate on what George has talked about, this is a planned concept of the alley street. This is Lawrence Street over here, Newberry Street right here. And as George talked about, really the initial part of this process started with, we got to get the power lines underground. So where do we start there? And probably the first point is right here. There's a power pole right here on the corner, B Lane in the alley. It has underground power going to it, then it goes up the pole, then it goes overhead, supplying all of these businesses on Lawrence Street. So that's where we start. We need to get rid of that pole. How do we do it? We decided that this is a good location for a new transformer for downtown Aiken. This is an area that's owned by the city of Aiken right here. So this is where we're proposing to locate a new transformer and then backfeed to all our, there's five businesses on Lawrence Street that are served by this transformer. Also out into the median at Lawrence Street, there's the city of Aiken Power Center that we've got to backfeed there also. So all this is, as you can see, these heavy black lines right here. That means these are areas that would be trenching down the alley to get back to these businesses right here. Here's power centers here, 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 and here that we've got a back feed to. So you can see that it's going to tear up the alley a good bit to get all this, these ducts and conduits and whatnot into the street. So that was where we started. And as George said, this is a chance now to try to beautify this street. What else can we do with it? So we are proposing to take out the trees that are there because they've had some damage from the winter. They're also not falling in probably the greatest locations for the street itself. They're cut sort of in a staggered pattern going down the street. What we're proposing to do is come back with trees that are together to create a rhythm, a pattern down the street so that you create a nice arcade as you come into the alley and walk through the alley. The other elements that we're proposing or to develop on the perimeter of it, we'll stay with concrete sidewalks, probably a colored concrete sidewalks. And then the infill areas in here and here will all be pervious paving to take some of the stormwater runoff that's currently going on that street. There's nothing taken into the ground now out there. So we're proposing to go with pervious paving all of these areas right through here in the middle, and then have some underground stormwater piping to collect that. Part of the other design features of this are new lighting right here. George, can we go? Tell me how to go forward here.
Sure. Just go down.
There we go. Thank you. There we go. This is a blow up of one section of the alley between B Lane and going towards Newberry Street. As you can see, we have a rhythm of trees going here, and then in between the trees would be a pair of light fixtures that are flanking each other down the street. And on each one of these fixtures, we're proposing to have two of these acorn fixtures that are similar to what you have on Newberry Street, on Lawrence Street, but there would be two lights per fixture because our spacing is a little bit further apart than what you have on Newberry Street. So this will give you lighting all in here and also create a nice rhythm as you're going down the street. Another feature is the trees. We're proposing to use an underground stormwater detention system that lets you develop topsoil and loose soils underneath the trees, but you have this system that allows you to pave over it and gives you support for semi-trailers coming through this alley. But it gives you the ability for the trees to have topsoil to thrive in and also to store your water in. It's called the product is called Silva Cells, and it would be developed probably 40 cells per tree, and it means then your tree will have good topsoil to grow in, but it will not mean the roots of the trees will not come up and start heaving the pavement. It also means that area where those cells are can store some of the stormwater detention and keep it from going into Hitchcock Woods. And also, depending on what our soil borings turn out to be, it may be that it soaks into the ground if we have a good sub-base there that's sandy. We've done some preliminary engineering, and George elaborate on it.
Scott was wanted me to kind of point out that the estimate done by the civil engineer looking at the storm water volume reduction, his estimate is if we have reasonable soil underneath and not solid clay underneath the alley, we would have approximately 70% of the volume for the 1 year rain events, which are 3 inches of rain within a 24-hour period, that those would no longer be sent down into Hitchcock Woods. Obviously, higher range, you still have the underground's system for taking it where it's going today.
I'll go back, George. Two items that are being developed is right in here. One of the new power centers for the city of Aiken to have during the festivals, where you need if you have bands, equipment, whatever paraphernalia, that can requires a lot of power. We have a location right here by a transformer, and we also have one right down here on near the corner of Smitty's building right here that will be locations for just hooking up the power, speakers, whatever that needs to happen in that alley during these festival events. One other thing I wanted to point out is the location of these trees. We've got 12 trees here as opposed to what's currently out there, I believe, is 14 trees. We're cutting it down to 12. And part of it, what we're doing is trying to locate the trees so that it does not impact the current egress and ingress into these alleys. This is the alley behind Smitty's. This is the alley behind the brew pub. So we tried to stage these location of these trees so that it doesn't hinder any traffic coming to and from in the alley. So this is just an overview of what it looks like from Google Map, just to show you how it's laying out. Here's the municipal building right here. Here's the brew pub through here. Here's Smitty's place right through here. And here's the center intersection right there. These are just some concepts of what we're proposing to do. We're proposing that it would be nice to have a sort of a ceremonial entrance off of Lawrence Street and Newberry Street. We are not planning on reducing the car traffic through here, but we want this street to feel like it's a pedestrian street when you go there. We will not have any curbs. All the grades will be sloping to the center of the street to take the stormwater away. We hope to improve some flooding that's occurring from time to time. What I hear down near Taco Sushi, I believe there's a backup sometimes during these heavy thunderstorms. So we want to take all the water to the center, have no curbs, and just create a pedestrian-friendly street, but it'll also be one that you can still bring in deliveries and pick up people and whatnot. This is you looking from Newberry Street, again, using a ceremonial iron entrance to kind of provide a gateway into this alley street. This is a view looking back toward the brew pub and Smitty's from, say, third point down the street. These are where the new trees would be. Here's what the proposed light fixture
would be using the same pole and base that you currently have, but then going with a new acorn-type fixture. We hope to be able to get these in a LED so that it reduces the power requirements for the city and reduces our impact environmentally. This is a view looking sort of from the city's building there on the corner back toward Taco Sushi right in here. Again, that's just trying to give you an overview of what it's going to be like. Again, no curbs through here. Everything's sloping to the center. These are the pervious paving that you would have right here. And then we'd have concrete sidewalks on the edges right through there.
So the progress we've done, or the work that we've done to date, we've completed the concept, prepared, you know, concept drawings. We reviewed the concept with the Aiken Downtown Development Association for their input, and Avery Spears Mahoney's here today. She may have, like, the opportunity to just, you know, voice her opinion on it. She was very instrumental in helping me meet with all the alley merchants and business owners, and we reviewed the concept with them to see what they thought of it, to kind of get their input. Were they for it, against it? What did they like, what they didn't like? And using that, we did, you know, then proceed to develop a more refined project cost estimate. So we developed the stormwater design details that Cam's shared a little bit with you, so that we, you know, if we say we're going to improve the stormwater, we need to know that we really are going to improve stormwater and it just not be, you know, kind of window dressing. We got the input of the stakeholders, and I must say that they were very excited about the project. Everybody is very positive of it. They think that it would be something that would be very attractive for the city. In general, they understood that there would be some issues with, you know, implementation. There always is. So we've included in our cost estimate after-hours work when necessary and needed, and phasing the construction costs so that we do not, you know, construct during the kind of the busy periods, the March, April, when you've got the horses and the masters traffic, and then Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, time period. So we would mobilize, demobilize, do a section, and actually that could be up to four phases, depending on, I guess, you know, construction planning as you get to that final stage. And so those costs probably added about $200,000 to our estimate. And our grand total is $1,255,000. It's not a small project, but when you consider all the things that you're doing, reconstructing, rewiring, rerouting the power, I think that it's a reasonable cost. And, you know, this is an investment that, you know, 50 years from now, I think is what we've got to look for, and what I think hopefully people would say that, you know, this was well spent. Funding sources I anticipate are capital sales tax too. We do have some undergrounding funds. We have some franchise money with South Carolina Electric and Gas that would be matched. You know, the electrical portion. And again, you have to read their contract with the franchise to see what they pay for and what they won't pay for and so on and so forth. And that's to be determined. But they have $300,000 a year, and there's a five-year limit. It's a certain fee, but they have a considerable amount of money that we haven't really been maybe taking this full advantage of that we could have. And I would start certainly with taking the fifth year and applying it to this project as much as you know, reasonable as is legally possible. So you have underground sales tax money. You do have landscaping funding, and then possibly some stormwater money for capital sales tax too. So that would be something that we would want to talk about. The next steps, as I see it, is for the council to approve to prepare and submit an RFQ so that we can spend the engineering design money. Our estimate is $82,000 approximately in the handout of the estimate, but $16,000 of that, or my math's not exactly right, $16,000 plus a little bit more for, or a little bit less for testing. is what we've already expended on services for Cam and his company, and so, you know, I'm including that in the fees. That has not been charged to the capital sales tax project. You can't capitalize something if you haven't, if you don't have a project. So it's in my operating expense at this point in time, but it will be moved to capital if it goes forward as a project. So what we want to do with that money is design the renovation, develop final budget estimates, prepare a construction and bid package. And I might say that, you know, the process will involve, you know, as we get a proposal and design, we'll be working with the ADDA and the merchants. We'll have plenty of opportunity for the public, for council, to, you know, have input. Obviously, the better project you get, when you use stakeholders and people who are interested in the project to, you know, give you ideas and try and incorporate them all, but, you know, at the same time hold the cost. So we would come up with a final design after that phase, gain council's approval to actually spend the money, and then the next step would be you know, implementing project bidding. So that's the presentation. I don't know if you have questions, if you want to hear from someone, from Avery, or...
I have a few questions, George.
Sure.
Did I hear you say we spent $16,000 already for the estimate?
Is that the right number?
No, we haven't spent that. We've spent approximately probably 10 to 12. We've had a survey done of the whole street, so that's been taken care of.
Okay.
And then we've had to develop all these schematic drawings and bring engineers in to come up with... systems. I've also brought in electrical engineers to look at how this all this electrical is going to be routed. So it's we've involved probably five trades at this point.
And I would like to point out that this was initiated prior to the change in the policy for the purchasing.
Okay. That's the basis of my question. What CPS2 money do you, are you talking about?
Well, there's undergrounding money. There's about $1.1 million for undergrounding. There is landscaping, still some curbing funding. There's a little bit of money, if you want to say, for repaving. You could say that we're also underspent on some of our stormwater, but it could also be Hitchcock reduction. I'd say there's several opportunities to combine different project objectives together into this one project, because they are achieving, you know, the objectives.
Well, would you have planned sometime in the future to show us exactly where you'd get the money?
Yes, I mean, that would be, it's basically, if I was to divide it up, it's about 43%. I'd call it undergrounding. I'd say there's about 33% of it is landscaping, and remaining, I think, is about 23% I would call stormwater detention or retention or removal.
Yeah, but and where would
how I would charge the funding?
Where would the stormwater
three?
Money come from?
There is in the capital sales tax 2 project, there were some infrastructure funds. The stormwater portion was underspent; other portions were overspent. So that was not something that council would agree to spend. Then I would recommend the Hitchcock Woods, you know, funding that has been collected,
because
we
stretch.
Are going to be reducing the flow to Hitchcock Woods.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
George, what type of impact will it have on the foot traffic during the day? I mean, I know you're going to work
in construction.
Yes, I mean, will you be closing off that particular section, since you're going to do it a section at a time? Would that require that particular area to be closed off, and would people be able to access the restaurants?
Yes,
our
commitment to them would be to you know, always allow them to operate. They told us, you know, from 12 o'clock midnight to 10 o'clock in the morning, they're fairly, you know, that's obviously not a busy time for them. So there would be aspects of the work where you need to, you know, make a mess, make a lot of noise, do a lot of digging and removal, and so that's why we put a premium into the project, so a lot of this work would be done at night. And then that way they would be buttoned up and they may have some wooden sidewalks to work on, walk on to go into a restaurant or get from point A to B. Some deliveries would have to be maybe moved from B lane and hand carted into the chop house, that sort of thing, while they're working right in front of that area. But we wouldn't shut anybody down and during the construction.
What about the how big a vehicle are your wrought iron gates going to allow?
Well, we anticipate it being designed so that what's currently going down there can. They don't have, the big 18-wheelers, but they do have kind of the semi-size, vehicles. So if you look at the post, that was the rendition, and, you kind of have it. It's nice to have a little sidewalk, gate, but maybe that doesn't need to go that way, and it, needs to be a higher arch and, a wider base so that, you don't have to worry about, the truck traffic. That's something that we would, have the engineering design firm confirm, because they have to continue to, be able to access it.
George, I noticed that some of the trucks right now are using Newberry Street as a way of getting their goods down, and some are using Park Avenue. I'm not sure whether it's tough for some of the larger trucks to get down. It's easier to unload that way. And Emory, you may want to weigh in here as well. Based on, and I'm sure you've talked with the merchants, based on conversation with the merchants, what harm would it do for them if we restrict a lot of those trucks? Personally, this is for me. I'd like to see very few trucks come down. A beautiful plan here in terms of that is friendly, in terms of community and family friendly. Any resistance if we just restricted it severely with trucks coming through at all, minimum restrictions, what did you get in terms of?
Well, in meeting with the folks that we met with in the alley, there's people on both sides of the fence there, and I don't think anybody completely opposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
With some, it's a convenient
right
for those folks to be able to come in there. So, with some opportunity to do that other ways, I think that it would still be okay. Again, there's places where they deliver to that aren't that convenient.
Exactly.
So they could, those modifications could be implemented.
I just think it would be it's beautiful. The plans you've given us to review is beautiful, mm-hmm, as is. But if we could just have that restrictive in terms of traffic. The third thing is our chief, you're the line here, the track, our public safety here, we have them parking there. Is there a design to improve that parking area where our public safety officers
We had not done anything in regard to that corner property.
Right, exactly.
That would just have to be an add to the to the cost of the project, but I'm sure it could be done.
It was mentioned by some of the folks that we met with to kind of beautify that.
Right, if we could make that more attractive, that would be...
One of the things we haven't really done yet is kind of the value engineering that you would get to when you actually start, having to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, make your list of desirable scope elements.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you find you can do things that can bring in scope elements without increasing
cost.
But I tried to develop that estimate. And I told Cam I didn't want to cut the cat's tail off an inch at a time. I want the worst news now, not come back and say, oh, it's really a this much more. I didn't want to come in low and then turn out that this is going to be a higher project.
Right.
This is going to be an expensive project, but I think, like I said, it's an investment, and I think there are many things that would be worth investing in for the alley for the downtown area.
Well, it's a very community-friendly approach. Matching funds, SE&G.
Yes. They do a 50-50 on the electrical portion.
So the one point, only on the electrical, not on the 1.2 million?
Not on the 1.2.
Okay.
They'd be on the electrical, and then you kind of have to define, well, what's the electrical? Because, we were, you have to trench, you have to put cable in, you know, all of those costs, if they were just doing this project the way they'd like to do it, is you hire a contractor, you say underground these wires, there's a contract for $500,000, mm-hmm. You know, the whole thing's done, and, you know, we pay for half and they pay for half out of the franchise fee. When you start muddying the waters with mm-hmm. doing other things at the same time, then it becomes more of a negotiation, I suspect, with another entity. But so that's where I can't really tell you until we get into the details of the design exactly how much we could get from them. I do know that they have approximately $300,000 for 3 years, or for 5 years, I believe, in their franchise mm-hmm. that rolls over every year the last one drops off if you don't spend it. Mm-hmm. So there's some opportunity there. Now we have to match that money. So, you know, each year represents $600,000.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of franchise money. I'm not worried about not being able to get that portion. It's obviously the other capital project money that we have to decide if we want to spend.
And it's specifically targeted for the electrical, the funds you're talking about.
Yes, so that would be targeting the electrical funds, and then they would match, you know, that portion.
Okay.
George, are we sure that work could be done and not interfere with any of the businesses?
Well, that'll be our objective. Right. You know, we have to do, you know, final cut-ins on Sundays, for example, or when we could arrange with the with the individual business owners. We talked a lot with the individual business owners, and they expressed a you know, thinking that even with some disruptions, the end result would be well worth the effort and the intent. In fact, one of the things that Van Smith said is that when his business, when we were doing the bricks in front of his business, he said his business actually went up because people were just coming down and curious to see what's going on. Then they'd look and they'd say, oh, and they'd walk in. He said he'd just soon have the city work 3 or 4 more weeks in front of us. So there may be that aspect as well. I don't know.
If he asked for Christmas this year, if y'all don't mind. But we did meet with all the folks in the alley and spoke with, and everybody was overwhelmingly excited about the opportunity for you guys to consider the project. And understanding that there will be, you know, an interruption, but again, the end result would be well worth it for everyone involved and, you know, the city in general.
Right. You may have said this, how long would it be to do from start to finish?
Our estimate is 6 to 8 weeks per phase, approximately, but that won't really be known until you get with a contractor and you get into, you know, kind of sequencing, and that's part of the design phase mm-hmm. where the you know, the designers not only have to specify what they need, but they also have to kind of talk about how to get it done. But that was our guesstimate at this point. So if you did that, you're kind of looking at various phases. You do this section, and then, you know, it'd be March, April, and so you wouldn't do anything until, you know, May. But then you got May, June, July, August, and you might be able to get two phases done before you stop waiting for, you know, Christmas season to go by.
And we could certainly update council as we, once council decides on the direction, you know, as we get a clear idea about time frames, have another briefing for council or presentation, and certainly during the construction have an update in our issues and updates memo in the agenda packet as well as the work progresses.
I think Sam has a question.
Yes, sir. Sam? Sam, come up if you would, please. We just like everyone to come up so we get it, make sure we get a copy of it so we can read it later.
I noticed on the map that you did show you had a the transformer there behind the police substation.
Yes.
So have you, in your design, have you thought about fiber vaults for all other
placement for...
What we would do is contact all the utilities, like I said, cable, telephone, everybody, and we would design the proper access for everybody. And recognizing that you need to provide for the future as well, so there'd be some expansion opportunities as well. So that's in our plans for
some. It's in the budget also to have vaults periodically throughout here for you to pull your services in and out of there. So we are making plans for that. It's in the budget.
And what's kind of interesting, those Silva cells actually are designed so that running utilities through them is actually, you know, enabled and helped.
I just know from that one location, you know, neither provider could service that whole area from there.
We anticipate you have other vaults throughout the street through here. So we brought electrical engineer in, and we've got that factored into the process. The main thing was we wanted to find out whether we're on transferable. You know, that's the key to all this.
Perfect. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. We have to have the transformer where it's at?
You could, if you can find another spot, we'll be glad to move it. The biggest challenge is, you know, where can you go? So there had been some discussion, I guess, you know, one time, you know, over in this area, but the people who own, I guess, the rights to that or that property weren't really interested. People have talked about it here, and that'd be something that we could look into. You'd be coming this way and that way. We chose that location only because it is city property, obviously.
No cost.
Low cost, and we can say yes to that location. So we recognize that there may be some relocation. That just changes then the cost structure of what you're doing. But I mean, it can certainly be managed.
Well, that's the city property we bought when we wanted to make sure that we were going to be able to keep City Hall downtown before we bought the bank. Now we bought the bank, and I, for one, would like to sell a property. We don't need it. But if we're going to put a transformer on it, that's going to affect the value of that property if anybody wants to buy it.
Well, they're going to need a transformer, too, so maybe they can put it right beside it.
This is an excellent job. It really has. I hope you're going to post it on the web.
We will.
So that people can see it. And I'd love to get an email version of this to send it to people as well. I think the community will be very proud of this if we can make it happen. Your timeline now is you have a sense of your timeline?
Well, you know, I haven't really worked on a timeline from the standpoint that I need to have this meeting to find out if there was interest and a will, you know, to move forward. You know, the next step is to, you know, be authorized to, you know, put an RFQ and the, you know, the engineering cost together, because that's when you start getting the answers to the questions. You know, what other places can you put the transformer? Are there other aspects if you want to, you know, design a, you know, do something for the parking or any other items that people come up with? I think we need to have, you know, real sit-downs or more extensive sit-downs, I should say, with the restaurant and business owners, obviously, with the public in general, and you know, and incorporate that, and then you know, come up with a design.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good move. The more you can specify, the more details we know, the closer we'll be to coming up with a true cost.
Right, and I think it's important to kind of go to the step where you complete the design, and then you kind of check back in to see if your costs are still where they need to be.
Well,
and then, you know, and then kind of go forward with the rest.
But I'd rather better get our best cost estimates before we spend $70,000 for a design.
Then spending the $70,000, well, that's how you will get the better cost. You won't really get any better cost estimates until you actually start doing some of the design.
Mr. Mayor, I know Stuart said we need to move along in terms of... you didn't say that, Stuart, but we can get more information later on at another meeting. But okay. Before we...
Let's ask George and Cam, what is the next step? How long will it be to get more information? What is the next step?
The next step is, with council, what's the appropriate way to gain council's approval that we should go ahead and send out an RFQ? If you're going to send out an RFQ, you're basically telling, engineering firms you're planning to spend some money with them to do a design. If you do an RFP, you could actually have them, tell us how much they will charge. Our estimate is approximately $70,000 for that, plus some coring samples that they'll need in order to understand whether the stormwater work is worth, investing in.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little concerned about where the money's going to come from. You mentioned the money down in the Woodlands there, taking some of that money, but you also said that some of the storm drainage would be capped and would not go down in the woods. How much? We've worked a long time trying to get a fix on the water that is going in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
We all know that.
Right.
And there is some money there, but I would be interested in how much you would take for this project. I think it's a great project. It's just the fact that do we have the money?
Okay.
Where's the money going to come from exactly?
I could develop a estimate for you and send it out as an email or as a or however whatever your pleasure is, and give you our best sense of what we think would each aspect would cost, like I said, and then this is the line of the capital sales tax that I would propose spending this money from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was?
Can you explore in greater detail the issue with the SCG&E matching thing?
I can do that as well.
Could you tie that down a bit?
Yes, I can do that more. If we have a sense that this is a project we should be spending our time on, I can do all of that.
I think we all love it. There's no question about that. It's just, can we afford it?
Right. That's what we'll do.
My comment, Mr. Mayor, was in reference to a work session. I think we need a work session to discuss this as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. I think everyone agrees pretty much it is a great concept, great idea. But we need to schedule that.
As soon as there are more details, which you say you can put together.
Right, absolutely.
We can certainly have that, Leslie, and I think everybody would agree to that work session. Where we
sure can.
Pam and I will put our heads together and contact SCG&E, and then I'll let Stuart know what time frame we think we can achieve. And schedule as soon as we can.
Yes, we can. Very good.
Okay. One other thing. We had a couple here tonight that I met that was the owners of the Papa Russ building, and they came tonight just to see this concept plan. I'd like to know what they think of it since they actually own a building in the alley.
You didn't think you were going to get away with just sitting there, did you?
Sorry. I'm Russell Richardson, and I own the building 231 the alley. Now, I think it's fabulous. It needs to be cleaned up a bit. There's a couple, three issues that I want to talk to them about. I lived there for 7 years that I think they need to take into account, but I think it's wonderful. It needs to be done.
Very good. Thank you. Okay.
So finally, I got a couple of questions. I was waiting. You talked about working from midnight to 10 in the morning, right? So we would basically schedule this as 5-10s every week, and they'd work every night?
It would be something like that. I think you estimated about 70% of the work when you did your...
It's all going to be... we'll get with the business owners to see the impact. I personally think that probably a good bit of this work through here can possibly be done some during the day, because there aren't any businesses that currently
front on this portion of the street. Obviously, we got to give access back to the back of Smitty. So this is why we've sort of envisioned this in four phases. We actually felt like this could be phase one right through here, get the transformer in. We could still leave access through this porch through here to get through to the restaurants that are right in here. This is a municipal building for the city. They can still have access on the side here. So this is probably not too difficult to work here. This right here, probably the biggest concern here is into Morgan Stanley right here. Have to work through that. This is probably the most problematic area right here. I see this probably occurring after, at all times after the businesses are closed and before they open. This we have two or three restaurants right here, restaurant right here. So this is the toughest area. We're calling this probably phase three. And then this will be phase four.
Yeah, because we have 25% of the budget is the premium time and construction time, which is a big chunk of it. Sometimes it's better just to run 5-10s at midnight and don't worry about it. You get a cheaper job. Other thing that's reappeared down by the hotel and the other things, people tend to rerun lines after we've cleaned them up. So, George, you're just going to have to watch that as we go on. The transformer behind Smitty's disappears too. Behind, you know, or maybe it's down by Papa, right across from Papa Russ's. There's a big transformer up on some poles there.
Yes, that disappears as well.
All of the transformers disappear.
Yes.
Actually,
a couple of light poles and things along the way that would disappear.
That's going to be a big hulking transformer. It's going to be 10 by 15 by probably 8 feet high.
It's going to be 5 by 5 by 5, just about a cube. That's
going to happen. The city is going to lose 10-15% of that property where this is located, because when you start with the feed cables, I don't think you can build a building over them.
Well, there's a little transformer box there in the location right now. What I talked with the SC&G engineer is that what I like to do is just put it in its place and then find another location for the smaller one. So technically I wouldn't be taking more space. I would be just replacing the existing transformer. That's my preference, to see if we can make that work.
Because long-term, just talking to commercial developers, that area could be developed into a ground floor commercial and then two-story apartments above that, economic apartments. And if you put one there, you're going to lose a good chunk of that.
Well, can it be open? Some power as well, so maybe that's something we'll talk to the SCNG, you know, how would they, you know, feed a new...
Okay, but you need to look at what kind of clearance you need around that transformer, and I know Cam can work on that, because there's certain restrictions for explosion reasons from that.
Reggie, we're trying to get it as close to the existing transformer. If you go down the alley right now, there's a large transformer.
There's a big one there now.
Right here. So we're trying to combine these all in together here so that we minimize the impact and still leave this piece of property as much to be developed for the future as we can.
Okay. The other part, I assume when you're doing all the stormwater, that when we walk down the street during the rain, the gutters aren't going to wash our shoes and socks off, right? Because right now everything just pours off the building right in the middle of the sidewalk. So we'll take care of all of that.
There will be no curbs in there. So everything will be draining to the center of the street. So if you stay on one side of the street or other, you should be okay.
So the gutter's going to come down and run into the middle of the street.
We're tying in all the existing downspouts that are on the buildings. We're going to tie all those in underground, tie them into our storm piping system here and through here, so we will not be splashing out onto the pavement. The idea is to try to get everything. The only thing that's coming down on the pavement is just what falls out of the sky.
Okay. And I would assume that the owners would fix their scuppers and downspout, because just about all of them are broken up and down the street.
There's going to be a coordinated effort. Okay. We're going to tell them, we're going to give them a nice boot and tie in, and hopefully they will see the wisdom of piping into it.
All right. The other one, one would assume we're going to if the water tank is finished and all that, which it probably would, we would have full-time supervision on this job?
Yes, this would definitely be a construction manager's, you know.
Okay, because our experiences on the other parkways have not been very good without supervision there.
That's the only way to do projects, I think, okay. Is to have someone who's
Go back to the funding. So what our next move is to have a work session, like I think Leslie said or somebody said there. And at that work session, you would have a funding strategy and everything?
Right. I'll have a recommendation and see if y'all concur.
Okay. And then at the next council meeting after that, you would have it on the agenda for us to prove X, Y, Z.
Yes.
Is that the intent, Stuart, to do that? All right. Well, no, I think it sounds good, and we need to move on with it.
Can I ask an unrelated question of Avery, please? Do you know of any plans, and maybe the city that should answer this, not you, to replace the trees that were lost during the storm? That might not be a fair question to ask you.
Yeah, we talked about
this. Have you talked about it?
I think Tim actually has kind of put things on hold until he hears what we're going to do. It was kind of interesting. Not a lot of people like the trees that are there existing. They don't like the leaves.
I heard a suggestion of putting up a flower box and, you know, using something like that maybe the nearby stores would adopt and take care of. And that was one suggestion that I heard.
You know, I look at that as opportunity to involve, you know, the stakeholders of the alley, sure. and if that's what they want, we won't put a single tree in if they don't want a tree.
This is not just related to the alley. I mean, this is related to
downtown,
to Richland,
right.
Lawrence. I mean, downtown where we lost trees, Aiken Motel. I think Barry, your place lost a tree. You know, there's several of them, and we need to try to repair that as quickly as we can, assuming we have the money.
And our design committee at Aiken Downtown Development has expressed interest in that process.
Super.
As well. So, working with Mr. Rapp and Mr. Coakley on getting that taken care of.
Okay. Thank you.
Avery, if I can let Avery know, you're doing an excellent job. I know that you and the board are constantly looking for ways to increase foot traffic in our downtown area. You're doing a great job. You've got an event coming up?
Farmers Market and the Beach Blast.
And the Beach Blast is
The Beach Blast is this weekend, Friday and Saturday, from 6 to 10:30 on Friday and all day 11 to 10:30 on Saturday.
You drew how many last year, roughly?
A couple thousand throughout the weekend.
Great.
So we're looking to grow that this year.
Good.
And we have URS sponsoring with us on that event.
You didn't have to do that.
Great.
Very good.
And I really just real quickly appreciate all of George's help on going to the stakeholders in the alley and working with them. We picked up some great suggestions, and we'll continue to do that through the process, you know, considering that it is free.
Great job.
Very good. Thank you. Thank all of you for what you've done. It looks great. Okay. Under old business, the first item is a discussion of appointees to various boards, commissions, and committees. And I note that we don't have any, but we may have some nominations.
Yes, we may.
Okay.
I first would like to thank Frances Farley for completing her 5-year term in the Housing Authority. That is a lot of effort, and I'm very proud to appoint Beverly Clyburn, who is a familiar face and name, to the Housing Authority.
Okay. Are there any others?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. I have Mr. Baltnight that wants to continue to serve, even though that board doesn't meet much. But he is still interested in continuing the service. And James Gallman.
Okay. Very good. They will be on the agenda for the next meeting and for appointment. Item 2, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to set the millage rate for FY 2014-15 budget. We need to talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. We have the time to set the millage rate for our fiscal year 2014-15 budget. We discussed at our last meeting various ways or options to discuss how to handle our millage rate, and council approved at the May 12th meeting, holding the millage rate at 62 mils, which means that at the moment our current millage rate does not include a 2% cost of living increase. And the ordinance is titled an ordinance to provide for the levy of taxes for ordinary city purposes and for capital development purposes in the city of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2014, and set the millage at 62 mils and to provide for the expenditures thereof.
Okay. Do we have some discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I propose we continue this item until the next meeting, and also would propose that as the adjustments and meetings are held to review the budget, that we have a work session at the appropriate time before the next meeting. And that's my motion there.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Very good. And second, any discussion?
So I think for the public benefit, we need to explain that we're just not ready at this point to consider any type of millage increase until we know what the costs are of our game plan to improve public safety salaries. And we know the total cost for the cost of living, but we want to do it in one package rather than split it.
Very good. Okay. Item three, then, is... Excuse me. Okay, show of hands. All in favor. Passes unanimously. Pardon. Item three is second reading public hearing and ordinance to approve the FY 2014-2015 budget.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we continue this have appropriate work sessions prior to the June 23rd meeting and discussions with council members in the meantime.
Right.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Second. Discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Yeah, there's two certainly to go together. Item four, second reading public hearing of an ordinance to approve the Aiken County Hazard Mitigation Plan. Mr. Beatbox.
Mayor, thank you. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to adopt the Aiken County Hazard Mitigation Plan prepared by the Lower Savannah Council of Governments. In 2010, our Public Safety Department worked with Aiken County and the Lower Savannah Council of Governments to update the County Hazard Mitigation Plan in order to be able to directly apply with the South Carolina Emergency Management Division for some designated FEMA money that's designated for hazard mitigation. We need to have council approve this plan, and what we would like to do to apply for this grant money is we would like to have the Emergency Management Division consider applications to install generators at City Hall, our HO Week Center, and the Smith Hazel Recreation Center, install pump arounds at our 34 lift stations that currently do not have the pump arounds to prevent sanitary sewer overflows. We would like to apply also to install standby generating equipment at our Shaw's Creek Water Treatment Plant and off-site wells at our Town Creek and Pine Log Water Treatment Facilities, and apply for hazard mitigation money again to stabilize slopes at the railroad cut near the Wilcox as part of our stormwater program. And again, to directly apply for this money, we must have an ordinance that council has approved this hazard mitigation plan. And you approved this ordinance at your first reading at our May 12th meeting.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move approval of second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve the Aiken County Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Okay. I second.
Second, okay. Any discussion?
Yes, sir. I have several questions. Just a clarification and one addition. This is all dated April 11th of on all of the sheets there. April 11th of 2011. If you look at all of the attachments there, they all have the same date on them.
Yes.
And my assumption is that it's up to date, but, you know, on one of the pages, we have a name on there that's retired. If you look at page 101.
Yes.
And I think I pointed this out before. So the all of the amendments and this thing is still okay. We're just...
It is.
Is it for renewal? Is this what I think was said before?
That is correct. For whatever reason, when the plan was adopted, we in 2005, we adopted the prior plan, and approximately every 5 years or so, the County Emergency Management Division updates it. And for whatever reason, this we never adopted the plan. I will tell you, the county is working on, in approximately 2 years, they tell me they'll have the next version of the plan, and we will adopt it soon after. Again, we just need to do this so we can apply, Councilmember Ebner, for the hazard mitigation monies, and we can submit our pre-application for the grant.
And I got some information from the owners of the Wilcox that are obviously very interested in this, because part of the their backyard is disappearing part of the building.
Yes.
And they sent something that said you have to apply the pre-application by June 27th.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Oh, yes, yes. And we've been working on these pre-applications, and we'll be ready to submit those pre-application documents. And what that will do is they will approve the pre-application, and then we will then have to submit an actual detailed application in the fall. And actually, we've got staff. Mr. Grinton is going to a meeting this week up in Columbia, the Emergency Management Division, to get some training on how this process will work. We have not had this money available here in South Carolina because, fortunately, we don't have a lot of disasters to get FEMA money. But this time, of course, we have.
I think one thing here, and I'm not doing a commercial for the Wilcox, but obviously that is a not only a historic building, but it also brings in a lot of our accommodation tax and other taxes into the city. I would hope that it'd be a number four order that we sure take a look at it closely, what to do there. And I've been working with Mr. Ms. Ellis on this, and they're willing to do whatever they can to help this mitigation. And my understanding is, and I haven't talked to the Norfolk Southern and their subcontractor directly about the railroad, but I know indirectly through Mr. Ellis, is also as Congressman Joe Wilson's representative, that the railroad is interested in supporting this effort. And that's kind of a rarity in today's world, but I think really the one that's doing it is the Aiken Railroad Company. You know, they have a vested interest in making this a go. And
yes.
Do you know yet how they can help, or will Mr. Grinton be able to contact them once he gets back from Columbia?
That's right, and again, this pre-application sort of gets you in the queue to submit the application, is my understanding from talking to the representatives of the Emergency Management Division, and then again, it will come down to submitting a good application. There's a limited amount of money available statewide. It's not just the money's not just available for jurisdictions that were affected by the winter storm. They did have a meeting. They had a number of meetings around the state last month, and we attended one here just to get some information. And as I say, we're hard at work getting these pre-applications ready to submit by the June 27th deadline. And then we should hear back from the Emergency Management Division going forward and prepare, as I say, a detailed application for later this year.
Okay, thank you.
And two quick comments. Now, none of these items that we're talking about are in our budget. We're going to get them if we get the grant.
We will get some money. The way it works is, and the funding will not come at the earliest until late in next fiscal year. And then what the expectation is you pay up front, and then they do a reimbursement of 75%. And for again, the amount of money that all these projects cost versus how much money is available in the state for hazard mitigation, it's there's just several million dollars available, and our projects are a little over $1 million to $2 million, and we will get I guess some funding for some of these projects, or we're optimistic, because, for example, we know one of the priorities for the Emergency Management Division and in terms of distributing this money, they tell us, is they're interested in power backup generators, and we are looking at other potential possibilities of funding, not just from this money, for the stormwater issues at the Wilcox. I know Mr. Grinton has expressed that there are some other programs he and Mr. Atkins in our Engineering Utilities Department are looking at to help us potentially.
But my point is none of these items are in our budget that we're going to approve before the fiscal year ends.
They are, again, with some of this potential money, they are not, I guess, specifically listed in the budget, but again, the funding for this would not, we would not get a grant award, really, or get notification of a grant award till late in the fiscal year.
Yeah, but I just wouldn't want to spend it and then find out we're not going to get the grant.
Right, and again, we will know, we would not certainly spend it until we get some good word that we would get funding. Yes, sir.
And has Captain Abney been replaced as one of our representatives to this committee?
I don't believe they've really gotten into a task force committee yet that I'm aware of. No, and I see Chief Barranco shaking his head again.
Rangers
I'm told
on it.
That will not really take, for the 2010 and 11 application or document here, but the next one, they are just in the pre-planning stages and talking to Mr. Ruth and Mr. Matthews at Emergency Management. Really, this won't come about in earnest until later in 2015 and into 2016.
Wow, okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, we got a motion second to approve this.
Yes.
Yes, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Under new business, approval to the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce, 38th Annual Aiken's Making Event.
Mayor, thank you. Again, it's that time for Aiken's Making, the annual request from the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce to allow them the opportunity to conduct Aiken's Making. This year's festival is going to be held Friday, September 5th from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, September 6th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And as we've done the last several years, they have requested that we close the entire westbound lane of Park Avenue from Union Street to Chesterfield Street, and would like to close half of the eastbound lane of Park from Union to Chesterfield as well. And as they have the last several years, our exhibitors will set up on the paved portion of Park Avenue. So for council approval is authorization of the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce's 38th Annual Aiken's Making Event in the city limits.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Do we have a motion and a second?
I so move.
A second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? It passes unanimously. Item 2 is first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 419 Pine Avenue and zone it RS6, residential single family.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of this ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.152 acres of land, more or less, and to zone the same residential single-family RS6. This is the residence of Virgil and Fanny Kanagy, and our Planning Commission met May the 13th to consider the request from the Kanagys, and they unanimously recommended to the City Council that the property be annexed into the city limits. So for consideration is first reading of an ordinance to annex 419 Pine Street into the city limits.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Any discussion? Excuse me. If not, show hands, please. Okay. Passes unanimously. Item 3, approval of a request for extension of letters of credit for the Ridge at Chuckle Creek subdivision.
Mayor, thank you very much. This is a consideration of a resolution to extend the expiration date for the letters of credit provided by FPA Incorporated. Currently, these letters are actually going to expire July the 6th, 2014. The memo is incorrect, saying July 4th. However, with the holiday and the fact the 6th is on a Sunday, Mr. William Short is here representing FPA Incorporated, doing business as the Ridge at Chucker Creek. They were here last meeting to give us a presentation about their plan. And I did pass out, I received from Mr. Short late this afternoon a two-page document that everyone should have a copy of. That's the Ridge at Chucker Creek. It contains a punch list of items and the estimated cost, as well as the time to complete the work. Their to-do list. They would like a council consideration of a resolution to extend the expiration date for the letters of credit to July
6, 2015. Okay, very good. Mr. Short?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, as Mr. Biedenbaugh indicated, we were here approximately a month ago. Y'all received a presentation from our commercial real estate broker, Wayne Smith, with Wilson Kibler in Columbia. Mr. Smith has been very successful. He has one contract for the developed lots to be bought in bulk. That transaction closes this Friday. We'll fund, and we will have in escrow in the office of Mr. Harrison Penn, who with me represents FPA, funds to complete the work scheduled on the punch list. The punch list update that we've prepared and have circulated to you shows that more than 50% of the work that the city has asked us to do has been done. The city engineering staff has reviewed it and has approved the work that's been done. Approximately 40% of the work is yet to be done. We provided you with a schedule of when it will be completed, approximate completion date, the cost to complete, and the total amount of dollars for the work to be done is approximately $163,000. Mr. Penn's office will be holding approximately $187,000 from this closing. Excuse me. Takes place this Friday, so we'll have the funds on hand. We anticipate that we will not need through next July to complete all of the work. We anticipate that we'll be finished sometime in the fall. And additionally, we have the second potential closing. We're still working towards a contract on the undeveloped lots. Our existing builder, J.R. Holmes, is in the process of buying almost all the remaining lots in Chucker Creek. His transaction to close the developed lots is again going to close on Friday. We anticipate a closing later this summer, probably in August, for the undeveloped lots. By that time, we will have almost all of the work done. We'll then entertain the city engineering staff, and we will provide you, hopefully, sometime around Labor Day, an updated punch list showing that all this work has been done and is complete.
Boy, it's a lot of work to be done.
Yes, very much so.
What's the downside of all this?
We would like to have the opportunity to complete the work that the city instructed us to complete before we turn the subdivision over to the city. I believe it's in the city's best interest to have us do this work pursuant to the bonds that are out there that we are responsible for, rather than the city have to roll up its shirt sleeves and undertake to do the work. We're the best situated to do it, and we can do it the most cost effectively.
Okay. Do we have discussion?
Do we have a motion already?
Well, is there a motion for approval?
I think we have to do that, don't we?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this.
I second it.
All right.
I do have one discussion item, and I've talked to Mr. Smith already. They're buying the lots only, as we discussed, and then there's the peripherals that will still be to deal with the POA and the other things. And so with that, Mr. Mayor, that was my only thing, just to clarify, they're buying the lots and there's still other things that the original developer owns and has to deal with.
Absolutely. We will still be around. We are not disappearing. We're not going away in the dark of night. We have some other lots that we have still not gotten under contract. We don't have a purchaser for them yet. We'll need to do that to begin to wind up our affairs. We anticipate that we will be around and on site through the end of the year.
Sounds good to me. Okay. We've got a motion and a second. Show of hands for approval. Passes unanimously.
I do have, thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
I do have a letter I want to add to the minutes at the end of this discussion, and it has to do with the other items that we've discussed in the past, and I sure don't want to discuss them tonight. We'd have a 2-hour discussion on them. So with that,
I would like to give Mr. Beacall the letters that Mr. Edward requested that we obtained last time when we were here. These are for the Roma homeowners whose property is adjacent to the stormwater runoff ditch. It's got the riprap in it.
Yeah.
These individuals have accepted that. They bought the lots with that in place, and they have no complaints. And those letters confirm that, and this would be the mark to share them with the council.
I will be glad to distribute copies electronically to council members tomorrow that these letters Mr. Short has just handed to me.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Did we approve this?
Yes.
Okay. I'm playing around with all these papers here. Item 4, approval to hire an operations manager to oversee the capital project sales tax projects.
Mayor, thank you very much. Before us is an ordinance to create the position of capital project sales tax operations manager. I know council has expressed here in the past the importance to, and we and staff agrees to do our best to get our these capital projects sales tax pending projects completed, and one of the best ways we believe this could be done is to support a newly created full-time position in the city manager's office known as an operations manager, and the purpose of this position would be to coordinate any concept design, site concept development design, site location, construction of projects that are listed in our capital project sales tax 2 and sales tax 3 project list, such as what Mr. Grinton and Mr. Scott presented earlier in this meeting. We would consider this a supervisory type position, and we had our human resources department or director create a job description or class specification, which is attached at the end of this agenda item, and we expect the pay range to fall in the $50,772 to $88,670 pay range, depending on the experience of the applicant. And for council consideration is approval of first reading of an ordinance to establish the position of operations manager to be paid solely out of capital sales tax project funds. And our city attorney, Gary Smith, has reviewed this request and has opined that it is an appropriate use of capital project sales tax funds to pay for an operations manager.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to approve that we continue this, and I would like to do so on the basis of the fact that I think the whoever the new city manager is probably the person that ought to make this hiring decision, since they're going to be working very closely together. It's a very important position. We desperately need it. I'm not sure that we're going to get much done with that job now as we speak, and that will obviously stimulate discussion, but it's a very important position, but I'm of the opinion the new city manager should fill this.
Okay.
Well, I second.
Second. Okay. All right. Show of hands to continue.
We got some discussion.
Okay.
Ms. Leslie and I,
okay,
plus others, have been pushing this position.
Okay.
And I think it'd be good if
we all have. Yeah.
Right. But Ms. Leslie and I get together. The intent was all of the PRT projects only.
and this covers everything under Capital 2 and 3. And our focus, and we should list all of these, and let's just say that list has been turned in, and what I would like to do, if Ms. Leslie is agreeable, we will rework this. We'll list the projects that are approved that this manager should do. And we wanted this to focus on, and PRT is not all of it. You've got Eustis Center, but a lot of it has to do with PRT, open space, and that type thing. And I think that ought to be listed specifically what this individual would look at. And Mr. Grinton is already handling all of the infrastructure projects, the water tank, the other things of that. And we want this person to be able to concentrate on these for the whole city, take a look at it, and make recommendations of them, because we got property scattered around the city, and we have about $10 or $12 million that we need to look at and appropriately spend here. And so I think we would she and I will put together specific projects that are already approved by the public, and rewrite a little bit of the description so that it shows it works on these projects only and is not a broad thing. And does that sound reasonable, Lissa? You and I have talked about it. We need to focus on certain things, I believe.
I don't have any strong opposition in terms of delaying it, but I don't think we should go, and again, this goes into when we expect to advertise and get a city manager in. And if we're talking about 6 months to a year is too long. So we need to urgently. The purpose of this was to have an operations, as we label it here, but a project manager, just to handle the capital sales tax, George, those projects. If you're focusing on so many things that we've got for capital sales tasks, there's a lot to be done, and following that, and that person would consistently update council in terms of where we are with these projects. So we need that. I think this is urgent in terms of us, our filling that position. We've needed it now for a couple of years, so 6 months will not be terribly long.
I'm not thrilled with the idea of the spread for the salary. I don't think I'm willing to spend $88,000 for the position. I like the $50,000. We're talking about a basic management position, and I think sometimes we can get spoiled by the lavish salaries at the site, an average of $80,000 a year out there. But I don't think we need to pay more than about $50,000 to get a. We should be able to get a good qualified manager. Now, if we're saying we need an engineer, now you're a different ballpark. But I'm not sure that we do need an engineer. We have engineers on staff that could help that. So
and that is the range, Mr. DeWar. And obviously, the 88,670 is at the top end. But you're right. We do have engineers and project managers that are more at that lower end. And again, depending on the experience, I would anticipate whoever would make the hire, it probably would most likely be down at the number on the left.
But I'm saying we don't need to define that spread as from 50 to 88. We can define that spread from 50 to 65, okay, for example, as opposed from 50 to 88. And incidentally, we have discussed, and I'll ask the city attorney whether we need to formalize it, but I think we had an informal, and I would emphasize the word informal, agreement that we wouldn't that we would impose a hiring freeze and a promotion freeze until we get a good handle on the budget. Does that need to be a formal process?
Well, I mean, your budget sets forth who the employees are. Now, this is an additional, as I understood it, this was going to be an additional employee. The source of funding for this employee would be the capital project sales tax. So it would not be budget funds.
This salary comes out of the sales tax funds.
Correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yes. But okay, that's fine.
We talked about $60,000. For a salary at one time. I don't know whether you all recall or not, but that was the base that we had discussed the last time. So
if you have the 50 to 65, that's a good range, and yeah. depending on the experience. I mean, I'm not sure you're going to find anybody who's managed capital project sales tax programs before, but you just need a basic management. You need a real go-getter that will that can multitask and can get the job done.
Yeah, he needs to bring all of the projects together because they're interlaced, and that's one of the things that we've always expressed concern. These intertwine. You can't just say, well, do Eustace Park and do this, that, and the other. You've got to lay out the whole plan. And I think that's one of the key things that we need to do.
One of the things, though, is where does he fall in the decision matrix? Does he have, for instance, George, can, you know, he has people working for him. He can give them direction. Does this individual give direction or just monitor the progress of work?
He will direct the progress of work.
It was supervisory.
And if you read that, he would do, he would get out. Most all of this work needs to be contracted. And one reason we, this is my fault, and we've, Leslie and I and Dick are talking about, this would be over here. And you need some of the expertise that's already in the city. But I think one thing, George has got multi-million dollar projects to do. And we were looking for this person to engage people that are familiar with doing a park, for instance, at the city landfill, and then taking a look at all of our other parks. We have $2 million to improve parks, and we need somebody to go out and get the expertise, if you will, to say, hey, how can I take this money and spread it out and get the most for my money? And then look at that type of expertise. When you get back to the basic engineering and contracts, there's probably help within the city that could do that, but I think the basic data needs to come from people that are very familiar with how do you put in a soccer field and you got this kind of territory and that type thing. Yeah. And that's what I think we're looking for.
When we get close enough to it, I think we all would like to see this written down, exactly what this person is supposed to do.
If you're looking at one, is that Leslie and I are going to work to that, and I'll send it out for comments to council.
Well, let's not wait too long. Well, let me, Mr. Mayor, can I pose a question to George? $50,000 to $65,000.
I think it depends on whether you're looking for experienced engineers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times project managers are engineers. You found that find a retired engineer who's looking for a second career, they might accept the $65,000 if you're looking at somebody out of school, brand new,
less.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be an appropriate range. If you're looking for a real high go-getter, I think you'll find they'll command higher prices.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what it sounds like we want. Not somebody right out of school, but somebody who's had some experience, hopefully, in this kind of thing.
Well, I think it depends on how you define the job. You know, you've got to have an individual who can multitask, and somebody coming out of college could possibly do that. Could they do it as well as somebody with 10 years work experience? Probably not so, but it'll be interesting to see when we advertise for the position what we get back.
That's why we need to really put it down in writing and so that we can see.
We'll be done. I have a good skeleton to work from here, and we'll go from there.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to continue this.
Yes.
Okay. Show of hands for approval. Okay, passes unanimously. Item 5, approval for a certified public accounting firm to conduct the annual city of Aiken audit.
Mayor, thank you. It is time for council to approve a certified public accounting firm for over a three-year period. We released an RFP on March 10th with a due date of April the 28th, and the document, our request, drew interest from 9 different auditing firms, including our current auditor, Elliot Davis. And after careful consideration, staff has recommended for council approval that the Atlanta-based public accounting firm of Malden and Jenkins be contracted with to perform our audits for fiscal years 2014-15, 2015-16, and 2016-17. They have worked with a number of firms that have gotten the GFOA recognition. Actually, I think it's 66 firms. As you know, we've gotten our GFOA designation, 23 years in a row now? 22 years in a row. And that's very important to us, of course. And they are moving into this area. They are currently the firm auditing of the government of Augusta Richmond County. They are also in the Low Country of South Carolina auditing the city of Beaufort and Colleton County. And they have followed Elliott Davis on past, on other audits, and the transition has worked well and been very smooth. And our recommendation is the selection of the regional CPA firm of Malden and Jenkins to conduct our annual city audit for the next three fiscal years. Elliott Davis will be, they are contracted with us. You approved this in 2011 for them to conduct the audits through fiscal year 2013-14. So when this fiscal year ends June 30th, they will come and conduct the audit for the fiscal year that we're in currently, but beginning fiscal year 2014-15 and through 2016-17, we recommend that Malden and Jenkins.
Okay. Do we have a motion and second?
I so move.
Second.
We have a second. Okay. Discussion?
I just have a question. I assume that this firm does not do any internal auditing. Who does internal auditing? Here she comes.
Yeah, Ms. Abbey will come and answer your question.
That's a change.
Good move.
Now, this bid is for our external audit.
Yes.
And internal audit is a very specific function. We have people in our department, one of them called a special projects accountant, who does what things you would maybe consider internal audit, like she does petty cash counts at some of the other departments. She does the inventory at the end of the year, things like that. But we do not, at the City of Aiken, have an internal audit department or internal audit function.
Could our internal person do an audit of the new building?
What new building?
The building that you're in, that you work in. We built that for $1.5 million.
Would they audit it? What's the question, Dave?
Could our internal auditor that Kim says we have do an audit of...
Of expenses, I think it's what...
Cost of the new building.
We don't have an internal auditor. We have a special project accountant, and she does things that you may consider an internal audit function. We do not have an internal auditor, and we don't have an internal audit department at the city. If there's a specific request that you have, you want them to detail the line items, I mean, I'm not sure where you're going with what you
I just want to know where, for example, if I want to know where the cost was, how much it costs us to build it, how much it really costs us to build it, and the breakdown of those costs, and who did the work, and so forth.
I do have Councilmember DeBoer actually in my office two large notebooks that have all the invoices, a spreadsheet showing a breakdown of the expenditures, and I would be glad and welcome if you or anyone would like to look at those documents. Again, it's two very large notebooks, and they are available.
I think that if you go back to the beginning of this job, one of the architect firms put together a plus or minus 10% estimate that was our guide for the authorization, and that estimate was like $710,000 or $12,000, and there was about $40,000 that we authorized as part of the $750,000. So there is a basis to compare what we did as what is in that particular estimate. And it was pretty detailed estimate. It was something like 15 or 20 pages long, and that should be in the front of your book. And that was the basis of authorization to $750,000. And obviously, Mr. DeWar and I have talked about this, and this has been one of my ailments. The idea is to find out how much money have we totally spent within that block of land. And a good place to start is that original document. And anything that was done there, we would like to know if that was charged to the appropriate project. In other words, if city forces were used to do something, which is not a problem using them, but did they charge to it? You know, if we bought furniture or whatever we did, is it in the current cost of about $760,000 or so? I don't know. So this would take it down another level from what Mr. DeWar is saying. This is what we'd like at the top, and I'm giving you where the information is to go and dig it out. So if you'd check on that and let us know, or the whole council know what we can do.
And I'd like to come by and look at those books.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
But if we did want an internal audit, we would have to engage an outside firm, a firm that would specialize on internal audits.
Well, a lot of CPA firms will perform that function for, you know, clients, but our external auditor, currently Elliott Davis, proposed to be Alden. Excuse me, I have a problem with Malden and Jenkins. They can't do both.
That's what I understood. That's why I was asking.
Have to be an independent external auditor to come in and do our external.
And what does the person on your staff do regarding auditing?
She does special projects, so
such
inventories. At the end of the year, she goes to all of the locations that have inventory, the garage, the supplies, the meters, and she vouches with the people that are in charge of the inventory. She doesn't count every item, she doesn't count every meter or anything like that, but they've done their inventory, and then she goes and she checks behind them and vouches some of those items.
So
she also does petty cash counts where she goes, like public safety has change funds where they use, you know, to make their money. They have a little petty cash account. So does recreation, of course, in our office. And she goes periodically and counts that cash to reconcile and make sure that, you know, their drawers are right and they have all the funds they're supposed to have. But she's also an accountant where she processes payroll with the other people. She works on Gov deals, all the assets that we sell on Gov deals. She pulls the title and does all the paperwork to get that item sold and recorded appropriately, disposed from our side.
Would she have business licenses? Or would that be the business license person?
Well, she has worked with the business license administrator in cooperation with that.
Okay. Thank you.
But this, what we're asking for tonight is for the external.
Well, I think Mr. Stewart, Mr. Biedenbaugh, if you would, you could reply back to us with what Mr. DeWar is asked to do to see if this person could do that or if it takes a third party to do it.
Okay, I can do that, Mr. Ebner.
Thank you.
Purpose be to find out what the original estimate was and what was actually spent?
Yeah, we got an estimate that was put together and we paid for that estimate. We just want to compare the two and anything that went in that area. And even, like I said, even if it was city employees doing the work, as long as they charge to that account, it's good. Furniture, whatever we've done over there. I think that's the other reason I think it's important. We're looking at renovating this building, and it's going to have some of the aspects of what we did over there. So I think that would give us something also to look at for this building when we do it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to hire this particular firm.
I think we did, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We did that already?
We just need to vote.
We need to vote, yeah. We've got the two. That's what I was about to say. Okay, show of hands. Passes unanimously. Okay, petitions and requests. I think we have a gentleman in the audience that wants to speak, do we?
Mr. Matthews. I think he was here at the last
council
meeting. Yes,
he was. We have one item after that. Needs to be the last item. Talk about the PAX storm.
Okay.
Material.
Okay.
That'll be our last item with us.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Council.
Good afternoon. Okay. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm here for an update that I was supposed to give you from the last meeting. Dale was with me this past weekend, and we set up for a neighborhood cleanup. And we're going to use Mr. Duncan, I believe, from the dumpster depot. He's going to donate us the dumpsters. And we got into a dilemma, which the city says one thing with paint, tires, you can't put in the dumpster. But you can put it in your Herbie Kirby, the city will take it off. So what Mr. Duncan proposed was whatever it was that wasn't supposed to go in the dumpster, they will have a site location where they can bring those items to be properly disposed of. Okay? And he's going to give us three or four dumpsters that we will need to do this on the 21st. Second problem, we still got the water problem. This last rain that we had, I went down Camellia, in those little holes, the pipe with the clay, no water's in them. Still running down the side of the street. Our street sweeper, hadn't seen it. I tried to get in contact with Phil, our inspector, our code enforcement, for some of those houses and some of the things that needed to be done on that side. Come to find out, he's the only city inspector that we have for the whole city of Aiken. One code enforcement officer. So my suggestion, and it's just me thinking, by the time you go all the way around the city of Aiken, how long would it take him to enforce the codes? I think another position needs to be put there. And the last one is the millage rate. It's still increasing us on that side of town. People are still not happy. You know, it's not fair to still increase, but they don't see any work. So the suggestion came up to at least put a crew over there and let them work the drains. And from the last time that they were over there for the drains, Sunday and Marlboro has a drain, the weeds are about this high, right in front of the drain, never been touched. Buford Street and Hampton, it's a pond, either going up or coming in. Still hadn't been touched. That's all I have for you.
Well, I think we need to talk a little bit about who's doing what and what's the plan to start doing some of this work.
Lawrence is dead, Mr. Mayor. We had five people at the meeting prior. This last meeting, we had two.
Does the city have a formal list of some of these problems that Mr. Matthews identified? Is it on a list? Are we going to do it tomorrow, 2 weeks from now, or a month from now? Is our engineering department aware of the problem?
Is it engineering or is it public services?
Well, the street sweeper would be public services, and Mr. Coakley, I've made a note to ensure that we can get the street sweeper out this week, and we can certainly have our stormwater division check those drains at Buford and Hampton, as well as Sunday and Marlboro as well, Mr. Matthews.
Okay. Well, the thing of it is that I noticed and I didn't put it on there, was between Lawrence Street and York Street. Whoever drives the street sweeper, ask them when the last time they swept that stretch. It hadn't. If you ride right there now, you'll see debris still on the curb. Even with the workers that they did the power lines, still there. I mean, it's sad, right in the heart of town. I don't know what we want to do. So I leave it to you all to try to give us some type of morale for that side of town, because it's not working.
I think we only have, one street sweeper?
One.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like the code enforcement.
Two. I'm sorry, two.
Two?
Two.
I call that blue one a hat. I'm talking about the large white one.
Two.
Okay.
Tim, Mr. Coakley is coming up.
Some of his plans to get
yes.
some of this.
And we're supposed to be doing door hangers if it's approved by council from Emory
where they can put them on the people's doors in that section of the neighborhood to let them know about the cleanup and the location of the dumpsters. I don't know if she's not here tonight.
Not here.
But Gail also knows what we talked about Saturday at the meeting. So whatever y'all approve between now and then.
What kind of approval do we need?
I don't think we need any. It's just a matter of creating the door knockers and door hangers and getting somebody to distribute them.
We need approval.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm just trying to do it the right way because I don't know how to get the word any harder to them than.
Mr. Matthews, I think it's just going to take a little bit more time than you anticipated. So you're just going to have to be patient. Now, one thing we are not going to be able to change is the fact that when we vote on the millage rate, it's going to be for the entire city. We can't leave anybody out.
I know.
It's going to include North Side, East Side, South Side, and West Side.
But you know,
there's a lot of people having issues with that, but that will impact the entire city. So we can't do a thing about that. But I think we just have to give the city more time to address all of our concerns, but it will be taken care of.
Right.
And I know Saturday you asked about having a crew there until it's finished, like leaving them there for like weeks at a time, and I don't think we're in a position to do that because this city is as large as it is. I don't think that we can have enough. We have enough crew members to actually leave a crew out there for a long length of time because we have several other areas in the city that's going to need some attention. But we're going to get it done, and I know if we don't, you're going to keep coming back.
Well, you know, that's a very good point. That's why I asked the question. Is there a list that the Tim's folks have of these are things that need doing? I mean, he can come up here almost every time.
Well,
and, he makes a good case. But where do we keep track of all these complaints? Or is there, you know, there's got to be a list that Tim should be able to attack. Does Tim keep the list? You come up here and you identify some problems, but who's writing it down? Who's putting it on a priority list? And who's putting a suspense on it? We'll get it cleared up within a week, 2 weeks, or whatever.
Well, I know the infrastructure.
That's my question.
Right. Well, see, we had this problem several years ago.
Right.
Even 10 years ago. Really? It had been on the books, and it's the same problem. And I feel like you don't need to hire nobody to do it. Just go back and do the notes.
Yeah.
Or just have Tim or whoever it is to go in and say, okay, we need to fix this. We don't need to debate on it. We
the
just
infrastructure
need to do it.
Issues have been, I think, brought to council on many occasions for that particular area, for Edgewood.
We know about it. What happens to the complaints that are subjected to us? How does it get transferred over to Coakley's folks?
Well, we've got to let Tim explain. He's sitting there waiting to.
I can't answer that.
First of all, it's not just my department. I can answer the sweeping question, and I can answer the disposal of the hazardous materials, tires question. All the drainage stuff falls to our stormwater division. It's George's guys, the streets, all that type of stuff. We've got two street sweepers. You came a couple weeks ago, and I told my guys to sweep it, and I'd have to pull the logs, but usually once I say do it, they do it. I think there's some misconceptions about what we sweep. We don't sweep any roads that don't have curb and gutter.
That's great.
Okay, so there's some areas in the neighborhood that wouldn't be targeted to be swept. And we have a sweeping plan, which I can pull and get the city manager to present to all of you. It tells our sweepers what to do, basically. They work 2 in the morning until about noon, 4 days a week, 10-hour shifts. It's 2 guys. They work 40 hours each. They don't do anything but sweep. So we do 80 hours of sweeping somewhere in the city every week.
Do they have
anybody sick or something?
Tim, do they have a map as to where they're going and making sure they get all over the city?
They do. What we ask them to do is come in at 2 in the morning and work the arterial roads and the entrances to the city. We want to present a clean-looking city on the way in. So they do that stuff when there's no traffic, from about 2 in the morning till about 6:30 or 7 in the morning. Then they shift to neighborhoods, and they work in neighborhoods We take requests all the time, but they have a plan where to go next if there's no request in the queue. So it was very simple a couple meetings ago for you to shoot a supervisor email and say, you know, let's sweep over in that neighborhood. So I'm assuming that it was done. But we can surely send them again tomorrow morning. I mean, it's very flexible. But we do have two of them there all the time. I'd love to have six, but they're very expensive.
I think you just proved my point. You say you're not responsible for the water. Now, does George Grinton have a list of water problems, of water drainages that are blocked, that are weeded up, and so forth?
George would have
to. While George is coming up, I would like to tell you that included in your $14 a month garbage fee is for us to come and collect items like tires and waste oil and paint. We do all that free of charge. All you got to do is call our office. They'll schedule an appointment time, and a supervisor will come to your house. We'll tell you specifically what day to put it out, so our supervisors don't have to go around looking for the stuff. They'll get a list in the mornings and go to these houses, pick that stuff up, dispose it properly. And that's included in your $14 a month.
James, did you know that?
So, no, because I had put something outside the road and it got tagged.
Now, you can't just put it out, because then we don't know to come by and get it.
But what I'm saying is, if my trash pickup day is Monday and I put it out, and I get a tag on it, you hear me? I can't put it there.
You can't not. You have to call us.
Yeah.
And that's something
here's
I did
why
not know.
The supervisor may not know to go down that street if he doesn't have a list of people that put stuff out. So we'll have you call our office, the main number, and they'll say, you know they can book up 10 to 15 a day or whatever the number is, and they'll tell you, you know, put it out next Monday or hold it till, you know, they'll coordinate a time with you, and then we'll come by and get it that day and dispose of it. And we'd be glad to work with Norman, you know, on, you know, if he wants to centralize that stuff for us, we'll be glad to help him with the disposal.
That'll work. That'll work. Thank you. Thank you.
I think George is going to answer.
Utilities has basically a calls program or a work order program where we're constantly getting calls for water, sewer, storm, maybe another item. And so that goes into a database. We're trying to get this on a tablet where we can actually have it on a little more program basis. We have a portal that we're working with our GIS group so that it gets, you know, connected to the locations so that maps are generated so that people know where they're going, where the utilities are. So we're geared towards, you know, all the underground and getting the right information so that we can track it and then, you know, and work on it. So the answer is yes, we have a tracking system. Stormwater would be put into a database in the same work order and then sent out for that crew to work on. Now, one of the things I heard Tim say is that, you know, grass is growing up. You know, so stormwater doesn't have a grass-cutting operation per se in drains. That may mean that there should be something done with grass-cutting, and I started thinking about, you know, I need to maybe talk with Tim about, you know, get some of his grass-cutting operations routinely going into those properties that we own in the Edgewood area and some of those drain areas, because they do need to be, you know, kept clear. Grass does grow up. When Tim came earlier, we did have our storm crew go out, and they did an investigation. In fact, I just received a report from Pierce Atkins, our assistant city engineer, on the outfalls of the infrastructure. And he actually thinks that they're operating pretty well. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be occasional clogs. You have to keep, you know, twigs, grass out of the inlets. So when you start talking about then how to keep track of that, I think what you need is a recurring work order to inspect, you know, trouble areas. We do that with sewer. There are many areas in the downtown area with the city that we have all sorts of needs to improve the infrastructure. And so what we do is we have the jet truck routinely going through once a week, once every other week, or once a month, and jetting out known problem areas before they become a clog in the backup. So, you know, stormwater can be done something similar.
George, have we done any of that?
What's that?
Have we done any of that in Edgewood?
We just did the very first one. Our stormwater group has recently been reorganized a little bit to start focusing on things, and I think that's an area that we need to, you know, work on. But there's, you know, we're not really set up to be grass cutters.
Right.
So I think what we need to do is look at, you know, particular drains, and if they just need to be have all grass removed and, you know, turned into dirt or riprap or something of that nature, you know, that would be something we would do. Otherwise, we really need to, you know, work with Tim and see about getting some routine grass cutting done, like, you know, even parks and things like that.
Is it too much to, I'm trying to figure out what's a good timeline in terms of assessing this and having an acceptable, you're not going to be 100%, an acceptable response to the community regarding how we're handling this. Is it 2-3 months? If it is an infrastructure concern, that area is going to continue to flood. And we have a technology downtown, the downtown area, that is handling Hitchcock Woods. So we may have to set up a system, something, to help those folks in terms of a remedy for the problem. So
I've driven through the neighborhoods during significant rains.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say they're horrible.
Okay.
There's water there, but it quickly dissipates. The infrastructure doesn't look like it's overtaxed. I'm concerned when we, you know, build new, you're increasing that, and that's
right.
The hydrology study, and that was just confirmed that the, you know, the infrastructure is decent. It's not like you have pipes that are rusted out.
Okay.
You don't have. You may have occasional twigs, things of that nature, clog the outlet at Jake's place.
Right.
Outfall is not, you know, covered up in silt. In a year or so, you might want to, you know, do a little bit of maintenance on that outfall, but it's not in danger of, you know, backing everything up. Could you improve? Yeah, you could probably improve every neighborhood in the city if you, you know, focused on it.
How difficult would it be to focus a little bit more attention on that particular area?
Well, we will. We're planning to do the. Right now, we're debating the scope of the hydrology study to make sure it's the right thing that we need to do so we can build houses.
Okay.
So that was the purpose of this report. Pierce Atkins was the stormwater manager for the city of Sumter prior to him coming here, even though he's doing construction work because the Shiloh project basically is complete. You know, I'm using him as my consultant for stormwater, and then we'll go to, you know, professional consultants. We have sent our crews out, and they did an assessment of the infrastructure and cleaned it out and looked good, and it seemed to be functioning fine. That doesn't mean you aren't going to have some puddles sometimes. I mean, you know, while it's raining, there's going to be accumulation, but I did not see a lot of what I would consider a bad situation. Now, if grass is growing up in front of those boxes, pools could be creating, and that is maintenance, and then we have to decide how to address that, and there are a couple of options.
This sounds like a perfect test case. See if you and Tim can work together to alleviate the problem.
Yeah, I agree.
In my opinion, that's an easy fix. If that shouldn't take any more than, depending on the schedule of Tim's workers, any more than a couple of weeks to assess that and determine.
Yeah, we can do that.
But if it's something more detailed, it may take you a bit longer to come back.
And I think the residents will feel better because they'll actually feel like somebody cares. Because I get the impression that they feel like nobody cares. That.
So here's the question.
It's going on like that for so long that because of where this area is situated, that nobody cares. Because it's it's not in the best area of the city. So we have to have something good to happen for people to realize that we do care. I think they feel neglected.
Well, I know the problem's existed for at least 5 years.
The problem is, and I gave you the address, and I mentioned it in council, at Hampton and Comedian, there's two houses. There's one in the bottom, there's one at the top. Okay, and the next house is on Ori, or Harry, however you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But the middle house, the city came, put gravel in front of the man's door, spread it out, and left it. One of your employees went over there, came and got me from work, and we went over there. We watched the water run down off of Hampton, through his yard, into the other neighbor's yard, which was flooded.
When was this?
At the last month.
Okay.
And they addressed the issue, and they said what they had to do was to put a valley, a catch basin, across it to keep the water from going into the man's yard, and he said he would give it to his supervisor. Hadn't heard a word back. The man's yard is still flooded. And he, as he said, it's been for 10 years he's been crying the same thing. You look at his fence.
Give us another month, I'll look into it.
I was going to say, give George an opportunity to take a look at this and get back with. We would invite you back for another month to hear what the progress is.
Because a lot of the houses that we have, since they've repaved the streets, the paved is higher than the yard. So the water has nowhere to go.
Right.
And that's the same thing that was on my street when they put the storm drain there. Well, the water went into the storm drain, but they had a gutter or a valley in the back of it for the water to come out of the yard into that drain. Well, guess what? It was more water coming down the curb, and guess where the water went? Into the yard. So we had to plug the back of it to keep the water out and let Mother Nature absorb the rest of it. But it does get thick over there, indeed.
A month, George.
Okay.
We'll
work on it.
Thank you.
Give us those addresses.
The address is one that is on Sunday. And one
we'll do it.
Okay.
We'll do it over here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, when do you want to come back in a month?
A month.
James, we talked about a list of things.
Yes.
I think it would be very smart if you would list everything that you want done or needs to be done. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
And give it to Tim and George.
Okay.
I mean,
I can do that.
There's got to be some kind of schedule here to get it done.
Well, that's what I'm trying to establish to find out what is actually going to happen where I can go back and tell the people. Because I told them, did you see the sign? I had a neighbor of mine to pull up, and he says, yeah, I seen the sign. I didn't even bother about coming. I said, why? He said, they're not going to do anything. It's just the negativity over, you know, the 10-year period. And that's what I'm trying to get the motivation of them back, you know, trying to defend the city and say they're coming, they're going to do it. But they say when is the biggest thing, you know. That's the hard part.
Yeah, if he could get that list, we could get right on it and try to have something positive results for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Certainly can't be done over 1 week or two weeks or something, but at least you could see what needs to be done, check them off on some frequency. And that would be good for Tim and George or whoever's doing the work, certainly. And they could tell you when they could do certain things.
Okay. So I would like them to at least go by and look at those two houses right there on that corner. That would be the first project, because that would deem some of it. Make them feel a little bit better.
I think George has agreed to do that in terms of getting it done.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Reggie, you said you mentioned...
I talked to Mr. Coakley and Mr. Biedenbaugh to give us a pretty detailed rundown on where we are, and I'll say some of the questions, and Tim and Stuart worked on this today. You know, what about our three passes? And then we have 260 miles of roads in the city. Obviously, all of them don't have trees on them, but we have to account for them. We want to know if, you know, we've done our three passes. Then
a report on our grinding, mm-hmm. and then a report on our hauling, and then talk about leaners and hangers in relation to the two contracts that are on page 184, you know, of the bid openings. And so, sure. Stuart, I'll let.
Sure.
I know y'all. We want to get kind of some information here because we got a date. You might mention the date there, or Tim's going to mention it, whichever way you want to do it.
Right. The date in terms of when FEMA reimbursement will end is for the debris removal. And again, that's only the one segment, but that is our largest. Is August the 8th, and our grinding, that's continuing. We've ground debris at Centennial and Citizens Park. Citizens Park, of course, that is available for the public. There was quite a bit of debris there. We have completed our passes of picking up storm debris. That ended Friday, June the 6th. We ended up hauling to the various sites 160,251 cubic yards of debris. And the grinding is ongoing in at the powder house site. Hauling, we're scheduled to start that, I believe, what, Tim, you talked to the hauler today, towards the end of the week.
Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday.
And some of that debris is going to go to some of the mills for biofuel. Mr. Grinton expressed a need for vegetation control to have debris hauled to the airport. And that's a good use. DHEC has already approved that. We're going to put it 20 feet on the interior of the fence. DHEC has approved that, as well as he's spoken to the FBO. And again, that is very welcome. I know Mr. Coakley's equipment has trouble getting to certain parts of the fence to maintain that grass and other vegetation that grows there. Now, one thing that we are going to have to do in terms of with council approval, we're going to have to come back. The ordinance, the ordinances that were approved, the one ordinance for grinding, we had second reading, I guess, at the end of April. The grinding started the 1st of May. The ordinance says that the amount of money we would spend is $195,000. That was based on, I guess, an old cubic yardage figure. The amount to grind, the amount that we need to spend to ultimately grind all the debris will not exceed $294,861. So I spoke to Mr. Smith today. We will have to have, I guess, an amendment to that ordinance so we can complete and get the grinding done. Again, that'll be reimbursed 75% at the FEMA rate. It shouldn't be an issue in terms of getting that completed. The hauling, that ordinance, I think we can spend, I think they estimated about just shy of $25,000. Again, we'll have to because of the volume of the debris, have that ordinance also amended in terms of to get that work completed. We'll have that figure for our next meeting, or actually before that next meeting, still being computed. But we are going in terms of the grinding and hauling of the debris, that's where that stands. With regards to leaners and hangers, you are, Mr. Ebner is correct, there is a bid opening to remove those in our city parkways. That bid opening is Thursday, June the 12th. That is work that can be done pretty quickly, we believe, in time for our to meet that August deadline, we believe. And again, that is reimbursable from FEMA, any work done by the 8th of August. The tree trimming and limb removal of city parks bids opening is going to be Thursday, June the 19th. And again, that work we believe can get done as well. We did have a bid opening several weeks ago to mulch and dispose of debris at the Carolina Bay. That bid came in at just $10,000. Again, that's a FEMA reimbursable item as well. And you asked, I guess, Mr. Ebner about the leaners and hangers along the roadways in the city. We are addressing some of that. None of these bids cover removing that. That's work is going to be done. At this point, we expected to do that with our internal staff. That was, I guess, a decision that was made some time ago, and we are addressing that. I did speak to a representative of DOT today. There were rumors that perhaps DOT would send crews in again to address leaners and hangers, not just here, but you know, in the storm area. But the information I have is, as of late this afternoon, that is not the case. That was just a rumor.
I guess, and I've talked with both of you. My understanding in dealing with, and I told this to both Tim and Stewart today, the leaners and hangar pavement by the state kind of disappeared about April 3rd or 4th. And emails between myself and Senator Young and the past city manager and SCDOT wound up saying that the city would do the leaners and hangars. And that's okay, it was said, well, you know, we have the historical trees and all of that. And the state duly informed me, and it was Mr. Leland Collin that I talked to, and he wrote down our conversation, that the state would gladly come in on as of April 2nd and do all the leaners and hangers, but you're going to lose a number of your historic trees because they're going to declare them damaged when they got a hole in them. And, of course, our famous tree on Marion Street that even Reggie could walk in where the burned-out place is. And he said all those would go. And by the way, he knew what the burned-out tree was. Don't tell me how. The chief operating officer of the state of South Carolina would know that, but anyway. And so, in my opinion, and you can check on this too, we have the responsibility for 260 miles of roads to do the leaners and hangers. And a lot of it's done, don't get me wrong, but I'm using the holistic approach. And to me, we're going to get reimbursed from FEMA if we get it done by August the 8th. There's no way that Tim can do it, and I'm not speaking out of turn, Tim. I need you to say that.
Absolutely.
And also, I'm very the 30,000 people in Aiken like Tim picking up their stuff every week. And so I think this is an item that the rest of council needs to weigh in on. We've got thousands of leaners and hangers that need to be taken care of. And we can get them paid for before August the 8th, but after that, it's on Tim's tab.
I got a call today from Al McLaren of Southern Disaster Recovery. I think he's a county contract. He's ready to come in tomorrow and start doing work.
Is that the one that's is he on our bidders list?
I don't.
Do you happen to know with that name?
I don't know off the top of my head if they are, Mr. Ebner. I can certainly check.
Well, I don't need to.
He's got the kind of contract.
He was not. I see on the vendors list that received the bid, but we do post those bid opportunities are on Skibo. They're on the World Wide Web on our website. So that's frankly how we get a lot of our vendors.
Mostly local guys.
Yes.
How do we get the holistic approach here? We know we got leaners and hangers everywhere, and my understanding is that those are on the city's dime.
You're saying holistic in terms of including it in the bid?
Well, we got 260 miles to take care of.
Yes.
And how do we take care of that between now and August 8 and get reimbursement for FEMA? There are contractors, as Mr. DeWar just mentioned it, that are already under contract, either to the county or the state, that do this work. And they're doing it, and this is me and or Dick and I. You know, we went and talked to these contractors 30 or 40 days in a row as they were working.
Mm-hmm.
One of us went down every day to see what they were doing for the state and the city and all that kind of stuff. So we're secondhand information, so somebody's got to check it out. But there are people under state contract doing this today and getting paid, if you will, the full reimbursement for this, either through FEMA and the state. And I think we need to look at them if we're going to make August 8th at all. maybe the contracts you're fixing to award, you go ahead and do them. I don't, you know, you've already advertised and all of that. But we still got a lot of miles of roads, and especially as you get back in the older areas of the city, man, there's a bunch of leaners and hangers up in those trees. So I guess I'm looking for council, either support or help, or what do we do to get FEMA reimbursement for this?
Now, Mr. McLaren has a has an expert FEMA consultant who knows how to deal with the historical areas, which is also very important. Because if we do it the way that it's normally done in a historical area, we don't want to do that. So they know how to do it, and he said he'd make that man available to us. If and you'd like, I'll give
yes,
you...
Yes, that would be very good, Mr. DeWar.
I think the contract we have in place will provide us that. If you want to extend it to more, you know, the bid we have out on the street now is asking for a per-tree price.
Time is of the essence, so we're going to the June 19th. It's June 9 now. It's 10 days of work.
You know, if they knew they were doing 290 miles of road, they'd bring in 17 contractors. You know, right now they're bringing in six. It can be scaled up from the bid we have now. It would not make us go back through the bidding process.
I mean, I just think we ought to do as much as we can before August 8th.
Yes, what Tim is saying makes sense to me from what I've heard.
I believe yes. that we can scale it up.
You've got a contract, yes. and you can add contractors to it.
Absolutely. We have the purchasing person here.
Yes.
And we have our city attorney here. And, you know, we've got the FEMA guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And my assumption is that our prices that Tim is going to open up are within those guidelines.
They are.
And so if they're within, and I'm talking now, I'm not making a motion or anything, if they're within those guidelines, that we would get potentially 100% reimbursement from FEMA as well as SCDOT, you know, we need to, you know, kick it and take names.
Well, absolutely.
And I guess I'm looking for the rest of council. I sure need Mr. City Attorney to weigh in on this, be sure he's comfortable with doing that.
I don't think anybody...
Tim wants to comment, Mr. Baird.
Well, what I wanted to do is tell you what I'm doing now,
okay.
which is taking them on a call-by-call basis with Tom Rath and his tree group. And they get from 0 to 5 calls a day of damaged trees or hangers. I've made sure that I've stressed to Tom that we need to go look at every tree the day it's called in just for liability issues. So he goes out and looks at the tree for, he assesses the damage to the tree and the risk threat. You know, if it's over a 4-lane highway, obviously there's more risk there than if it's over a field with nothing in it. He prioritizes those in a queue, and as of today, there were 2 waiting in the queue. So we're keeping up with the call volume that's coming in. But the problem that Mr. Edmonds brought up is there are 260 miles of streets, and to go through them systematically is really the way to not miss any of them. And we're kind of bouncing around taking the calls right now.
Right.
But what we need, what council has got to decide, in my opinion, is as soon as you say the word contractor, we pay 25% of that bill. All right, so it's going to take me with Tom Rapp's group probably 18 months bouncing around. You know, I'm just wild guessing
right.
that the calls after 18 months are going to stop. Please, I hope. You could get it done with a contractor in 2 or 3 weeks and make this FEMA deadline. The question is, how much money are you willing to spend to do it? You know, if we spend $400,000, we're going to get $300,000 back from FEMA. I'll make sure we meet the FEMA criteria. I won't let us contract with some for a price or with somebody that won't get us eligible. But the 25% is going to have to be a check written by this council. So the question is whether you want to get it done quickly or not.
I think the state has promised to fill the 25% void.
I've checked. I mean, I'm not sure yet. I know the governor did request that the General Assembly fund that, and
yes.
I guess she's reviewing it, but I guess
the worst case scenario
totally
though,
sure.
it's only going to be, I mean, could be 0 from the state at this point.
That is correct.
You know, we're hoping the full 25%. Back in 2004, they gave us 12.5, so it's still to be debated. So we need to be ready if we spend a whole bunch of money with contractors to pay that 25%. Now, hopefully we won't have to. But that's really the question the council is going to have to decide, in my opinion, is, you know, is the thoroughness and the speed worth the money that we're going to spend?
Well, I would say we need to do it. We need to get rid of all those hangars, all 200-plus miles, and get it done, because we've got real liabilities out there. That's one reason we've got to get it done.
All we need is one injury.
Right.
And $100,000 will look very small, and our risk manager that works for Ms. Kim, she won't be able to explain that away. And it just takes one person walking down the sidewalk.
Exactly.
Or a tree limb falls on a car. And let me tell you, the $100,000 gets cheap in a hurry.
Okay, that's right. That's so, right. So what's the next move? What's the next move?
I have a question. Were you just throwing out a number over the $300,000 you think you could get it for that?
Totally thrown.
Yeah, that.
Okay.
We're really not sure.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Only because we don't know the number of hangars,
right?
And we don't know what the bids are going to come in at.
Okay.
You know, once we get the bid number per tree, and that's how they bid it. If there's three hangars up there, or if there's one hangar,
it's
or seven
tree.
Hangars, it's
they'll
a
get
flat
it.
Rate per tree.
Mm-hmm.
So once we do that, then I can start applying some. You know, we went out and walked 9 of the 176 parkways, and we forecast. Do you remember the number?
863 trees
is what we forecasted off, just looking at a sample of 9.
Yes.
That's only 9 parkways, and listen to what you're saying. That's just the 9 parkways. That's not a whole lot of
miles. No, that's the entire, all the parkways.
Statistically, I don't know if that was a good sample or not.
Right.
It's just all we had time to look
at. It was
for.
9 parkways, and when you factor that over 176 parkways, we came up, I think, the expert estimated 863, I believe. Or it might have been 836. I may be. But it's 800
like
plus.
The city is a bigger number.
So, I mean, we could go out in the 260 miles of road right-of-way and look at 10, 20 miles and count them up and try to forecast a number out there, if that's the way the council wants to go. And then it would be determined by the cost per tree, and we can multiply it out and give you some type of idea.
Can we agree that we want to get this done?
Yes.
Or we get all the money?
Right.
Yes. Okay.
But it depends on the cost.
We want to get it done. So now how do we do it? What's the next step?
Well, we open bids on the 12th, and then it would take 2 council readings, which would be the 23rd.
And July...
And July 14th.
Oh, Christ. Never get these things.
So if it got approved on those 2 council readings, you know, we could have a contractor possibly in here the next day, which would only give them, you know, 3 weeks to complete the job.
Can they do it in 3 weeks?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
And that's because we haven't had the direction. Yeah. You know, if you tell me to do the 260 miles and find out what that's going to cost and can they do it, I'll go hammer down all those numbers. It's a function of how many crews they bring. You know, they were planning on bringing 2 or 3 crews and doing the 176 parkways. You know, they can get 20 crews. They'll go to Mr. McLaren and hire his crews.
I'm a little confused. If McLaren does it, he submits the paperwork. He's not going to give us a bill for 25%. He eats the 25%.
Not now, because that went away April 4th.
What?
For the state roads. We would be hiring him now to do that.
He would be doing the county?
He'd be doing city work.
Well, I'm going to call him tomorrow. That's not the impression I had.
I don't...
Whoever does it submits the paperwork. That's my understanding.
Yeah, but he's not working for the state anymore. The
it would be a contract with the city.
Yeah. See, we lost all of that, Dick.
Mr. Mayor, I'm wondering, based on the timeline that Tim has expressed, whether we need to have a special session for a council meeting and then get it on our next...
Well, I think we do if we have to.
We should have whatever
it takes to get it all done.
Very helpful.
That's the key.
That is
one question I can't answer. You do have to have at least 7 days between readings.
Mr., let's ask Tim a question. You open the bids on the 12th.
Yes.
When can you give us a best guess number?
What time do we open them on the 12th?
Yeah.
The bids are opened at 2 p.m. on the 12th.
5 o'clock.
And you could award the, I mean, there's
on
nothing
on the 260 mile stuff now. When can you?
I'm all that ahead of time. I can do that tomorrow.
So, in other words, if you open on the 12th, on the 16th, 4 members of council would have to get together. I'm throwing out a date.
Sure.
And then that would be the 7 days before the 23rd.
Yes.
I can have it to you by then.
The only thing that's required here is if we decide that we want to have a meeting next Monday, that allows us 7 days for a special session just to address.
Well, the 16th, you need a 24-hour advance notice, the 16th, and then Mr. Smith said you needed 7 days between council meetings.
Right.
And that'd be the 16th, and we have a meeting on the 23rd.
And if we do that, also, I would propose we have also amending the ordinance for the chipping and the hauling, the price as well. So, again, we could knock those out as well.
This thing is, the money's going to get big, but the liability is even bigger.
Right.
Well, if that's what council desires, we will certainly do what we can to move this.
You want to make Monday?
Yeah. I think, Mr. Mayor, if I can ask to do this, to be sure we poll the council just as a, be sure everybody's on board to meet on the 16th with a majority, four people plus. That'd be the first reading of accepting that contract as well as the ones for the Parks and Recreation. And then we would also...
Well, the Parks and Recreation bid is not till June 19th.
Just go ahead and deal with them. Take that one and run with it.
Yeah, that one, I think, is a lot smaller in scope. And not that it's a simple, easy project, but it's just
for our
parks.
Well, just let it keep on going down the path it is. You've already got a scope out on that, and
yes.
That one can get done from what Tim has said before August 8th. Then we would have, on the 16th, we would have three pieces of business. One is to award the contract for leaners and hangers for 260 miles of roads. The second thing would be to modify the chipping contract to make it a unit price contract, because that's how it was bid. And then the third item of business would be make the hauling a unit price contract, because that's how it was bid.
That's right. That's going to be that's correct, Mr. Ebner. The contract for grinding, the low bid was $1.84 a cubic yard.
Right.
And the hauling bid is going to be both some by the ton that goes to the mill and some by the cubic yard that were taken to the airport.
And these aren't cheap. Don't get me wrong. That $869,000 we saw floating in the new budget, that money's going to disappear, but it needs to disappear to get our city safe. So that's what we do on the 16th, and then on the 23rd, we would have a second reading of those three items.
What time on the 16th? Only going to consider three items, so...
What time you said?
What time on the 16th?
What time of day so that Ms. Sarah can advertise it.
I mean, we could meet at whatever time council desires. I mean, if we want to meet it a little earlier, if it's just pro forma for three of these items, we don't necessarily have to meet at 7. We certainly can if that's what council desires.
About 10 o'clock.
We need four of us to do this.
During the day.
We need four people.
5 o'clock? Well, we only need four people, but whatever. Give me a time.
Pick a
time. I'm used to being told what to do. 5:30.
5:30.
5:30.
She said 5:30.
Okay. So between Mr. Stewart, between you and City Attorney and Miss Sarah, you'll take care of all of that.
Yes.
Now, let me ask Tim. Does that pick you up?
Yes.
And if you think of anything else between now and then, don't hesitate to let us know.
We may need to add a fourth item, and that would be monitoring these contractors. You know, when it was only going to be two or three crews, we were going
to monitor. Talk to this man right here. He's got the guy that we've talked to, and he's a certified person.
You know, when it was only going to be two or three crews, we would monitor in-house with our staff. But if it's going to be 20...
We have a monitor in mind.
You know, I can't shut 20 employees down for 3 weeks.
I'll give you the... names and telephone numbers, Stuart. I'll give them to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. He charges the FEMA rate. He's 100% reimbursable. And
he's going to be 75% reimbursable.
Well, excuse me. He charges the FEMA rate is all I'll say. And then I know what you're saying about reimbursement, and we got to deal with the state. But his billing rate is in the FEMA guidelines as a consultant, works as an independent for other people.
Okay.
He does the same thing that Metric did for Coxwell.
Okay.
And Dick will get you that information, and that'd be a fourth item we would need to handle. And he is whatever he turns in is what you're supposed to get paid for.
Well, and in the bid we're going to open, we made them declare how many crews, because we saw this might be coming, that it was going to be more than three crews.
Okay.
And on the number they say they're going to bring, that'll determine what we have to do with the monitor.
We said, don't you?
If we do this, what's your level of confidence that we're going to get 100% of the leaners and hangers? Do we have a count?
Well, they're getting paid by the tree, so they're going to help us find those leaners and hangers because they want to do as many trees as they can. Between them and our monitor and our staff, you know, I think we'll get the majority of them. A lot of them are browned up. They're pretty easy to spot. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be 100%. We're going to be finding broken trees 10 years from now, but this is the way to get the majority of them.
Those are the ones.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I do have one other item for storm-related stuff. But we made some statements in the past that none of the debris will end up in a landfill.
Oh, good point.
And we may need... We were hoping that the citizens would take a large portion of the stuff at Citizen Park. I don't know how that's going to turn out, but if we want to, as we approach August 8th, we need to decide whether we're going to landfill some or not, because August 9th we get zero. So if we're going to make that decision, if council's going to make that decision, you know, we need a couple weeks' notice before August 8th where you say, okay, that's it, put the mulch in the hole.
We have one meeting in July, I think, Mr. Stewart. Isn't that right?
That is correct. One meeting scheduled July the 14th. But really, I don't think that was an item council voted on. That was just sort of, I think, stated.
Well, I'm helping Mr. Tim. It's been in the newspaper numerous times that we wouldn't landfill any. But if it works out that we need to landfill it, we don't want to have to drive down to Citizens Park and it's stacked up 30, 40 feet high and covers half of Citizens Park either. Because at some point it degrades and it also smokes a lot. So,
and there's a cost to landfilling. So if we're going to bear that cost, we want to get it in before August 8th,
yeah.
Obviously.
So I'd put that on the July 14th meeting.
Okay. And we've already got, I guess, our hauling. We could, I guess, have the ordinance in such a way to give us the flexibility for this to be hauled to the landfill if necessary.
We do that on the 14th. Tim should be able to have everybody working for at least 2 weeks solid there.
And so essentially just be the sense of council that we could landfill some of this mulch if necessary. Again, hopefully it won't come to that, but I guess maybe you need to have a backup plan potentially. But again, we're still hoping that we won't have to.
Tim, will you check with the folks to make sure the volume that we may have is acceptable in that landfill? Okay.
Tim, has it been well advertised that the mulch is free?
Yeah.
The citizens?
Yeah. It's in the newsletter.
We put it in the Water Bill newsletter. It's been in the news in the Aiken Standard, and it was actually on the Channel 10 News, I was told, in Columbia, because I understand some folks from Columbia have come down and gotten some of the mulch.
I just wondered, we've still got so much. Should we do even more advertising?
Push it out again. I'll be glad to contact
in the paper every other day or something for a week or 2 weeks or something.
I'll be glad to work with our media contacts. And
I think if you talk to Miss Mayan on the way out, it might be in tomorrow's paper.
Yeah.
Well, what about the?
We have the editor, assistant editor over there. I'm sure he could work on that.
All right.
Well, what about the?
The headlines will read "Free Mulch."
What about asking the public to identify hangers and leaners if they have it? The public. I assume we're only talking about the right of way.
You're going to get that. Yeah, I'm wondering if they would know where the right of way lines are. Maybe more.
That's true. Yeah.
You'll be closer to it than if you, you know. You've got to go check anyway. So,
Tim, has that fix you up now? Or fix the city up?
I believe so.
Thank you for your help today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And you too, Stuart.
Thank you. Okay, anything else?
I think we ought to thank Mr. Stewart. He managed the meeting very, very
absolutely.
Well today. And,
absolutely. Okay.
Thank you, Stewart.
We are adjourned.
20%.
Yeah. No, I have talked to Tom a couple of times on that. Okay.
Tim Collins, again.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you.